the Sustainability Fair. Who knows what we'll talk about? It will be a blast. Please join us. And also, please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. Do you love airline terminals? If you've flown on the airlines lately, you probably know the meaning of the word delay. Once you take off, it's great. The feeling of that rush on the runway, though, just seems to take longer and longer to get to.
The president says he knows there's a problem with air travel and that the nation's passengers are angry about it.
A lot of our air travelers are not only inconvenienced, they're in some cases, they're just not being treated fairly.
Top aviation officials will be working on ways to alleviate congestion and reduce delays, starting with the New York City airspace, through which a third of the nation's air traffic passes. One idea would charge airlines more for scheduling flights during peak travel hours. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Airline executives tried to blame small planes for much of it today, but that didn't fly. Business jets and all the little planes make up less than 4% of the flights at big airports. Private security contractors in Iraq have been a big part of the mix, though following one recent incident, there have been a lot of questions.
House investigators say Blackwater helped provoke one of the bloodiest battles in the Iraq war by ignoring repeated warnings of the danger and sending an unprepared and under-equipped team into Fallujah in March 2004. The four men were killed, their bodies paraded through the streets, leading to a major military fight. The charge comes from the staff of Democrat Henry Waxman, whose committee is investigating Blackwater. The company termed the report one-sided and wrong. The founder of Blackwater, one of many contract companies operating in Iraq, is scheduled to testify before Waxman's committee next week. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Continuing protests for freedom in Myanmar left 9 demonstrators dead today, 11 others wounded, after soldiers fired into the crowd. The White House announced sanctions against the leaders of that small country. The Census Bureau says fewer and fewer seniors are living in nursing homes. They have more choices these days, says William Fry, demographer at the Brookings Institution.
With today's senior population, we have a lot more options. We have assisted living options. We have more affluent baby boomers who are interested in taking care of their parents.
There's a recall of Colcraft's infant play yard called Sesame Beginnings. A changing table in the assembly has a strap with a loop on it. One 10-month-old baby boy wound up with a loop around his neck that strangled him.
There has been a death. If you have one, you should remove the looped safety strap that hangs from the changing table immediately.
Patty Davis at the Consumer Product Safety Commission says 12 different play yards are being recalled. They haven't figured out how to do it safely yet, so the race is postponed till they do. Members of a bicycling club want to race an old steam engine train along a section of the Allegheny Highlands Trail in western Maryland. They figure, hey, if a horse can catch a train, why not people on bikes? On Wall Street, the Dow up today almost 35 points. The Nasdaq gained 10.5 points on the day. This is CBS News.
I'm a jockey, and when I'm racing, I can't let my allergy medicine put me in a fog. So I only ride Claritin Clear. Claritin relieves my worst allergy symptoms for 24 hours, and it's proven to make me alert and focused, not drowsy. When I get allergy relief and stay razor sharp, I'm ahead from start to finish. Live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Only brand clinically tested. Now's your chance to save on your next Claritin purchase. Look for coupon savings in this week's Sunday paper.
When you hear the term severe driver, you may think. But AutoZone wants to remind you that's not the case. Severe drivers are actually those folks, like all of us, who drive in stop-and-go traffic, extreme heat, and make frequent short trips. That's murder on your oil, so you need to change it every 3,000 miles. Now at AutoZone, get 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional motor oil and a Fram oil filter for just $12.99. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
New research on alcohol and breast cancer is pretty clear. 2 drinks a day is one too many. That goes for beer, wine, or even good sipping whiskey.
If you are having one drink a day for your health as a woman, you cannot then go out on Friday and Saturday and have four or five drinks, because then you're going to be pushing yourself over from helping yourself to actually hurting yourself, especially in regards to breast cancer.
CBS's Dr. Sean Caniff. One glass of wine a day has already been shown to benefit your heart and to reduce stroke risk, but evidently that's about it. David Hara figured he'd have some coffee before racing his wife to the hospital to have the baby in Charleston, West Virginia. Guess not. This was baby number 9. Came quicker than the first 8. Sherry Hanna said she tried to tell him to get a move on, but he wouldn't listen. So their baby girl was born on the way to the hospital. They named her Carly, after the car. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
This is Octavia. How may I help you?
Hi, I just accidentally locked the door and my kids are inside the car.
Okay, ma'am, are your kids in immediate danger?
Well, I mean, it's hot outside. I need to get in there right now.
All right, do you remember your 4-digit OnStar PIN number?
592.
In most cases, OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors.
How old are your children?
They're only 1 1/2, twins.
Okay, and they're in the car seat?
Yep.
Okay, how long have they been in the vehicle so far?
I just closed the door and then realized my keys are sitting on the middle console.
Okay, now how hot is it?
It's pretty hot. It's probably 80 degrees.
I'm sending a signal. Oh, it just unlocked.
Oh, thank you. This is the first time I've ever used OnStar, and I'm telling you, it's worth every penny.
Give the keys, I'm hugging the keys for me.
I will. Big one.
Remote door unlock is one of over 10 OnStar services included on most new Chevy vehicles. You won't find OnStar on Toyota, Honda, or Ford. To learn more, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar, active.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, beaming to you from the beautiful city of San Francisco, where Indian summer has arrived, and we're enjoying it. Got a lot to talk about on the program today. Ups and downs in the Senate in Washington. The up is on the S-CHIP bill. We'll talk about that with Faz Shakir in just a moment. The downs on the Kyle Lieberman Amendment and a few other things going on there. We'll get the lowdown for you here in just a moment. Also in this hour, Father Roy Bourgeois will join us. He is an activist from Fort Benning, Georgia. He is the founder of SOA Watch, School of the Americas. And that is the site where we have trained terrorists, actually state terrorists, police and army officials who have tortured their fellow citizens in Central and South America. It's an ugly institution, and Father Roy has been working hard with many protesters to close it. And this year they came 6 votes shy of a congressional measure to actually close what used to be called the School of the Americas. It's got a new name, and we'll tell you about that a little bit later, but that's just greenwashing in so many cases. Scott Dick will be with us next hour. We got a whole list of things to talk about for military and veterans issues. He's got a line on the struggle between the State Department and the Department of Defense related to Blackwater's role in Iraq. Also going to talk about the whole flap over the Move On ad still alive these days, and how, you know, the attack on General Petraeus really got so much momentum, but the critical comments of his boss, Admiral Fallon, got such minor play in the corporate media. That's on the way, too. Plus, we're going to recap the Democratic debate that took place in New Hampshire last night. It was Tim Russert versus Hillary Clinton, with 7 guys standing there wondering why the hell they were there. One news account that was published originally by the Washington Post and showed up in the San Francisco Chronicle. At the very end, the last paragraph said, Congressman Dennis Kucinich was also present for the debate. That's all they mentioned about him. just amazing. And the bizarre journalist R.J. Schulman will return to our program during the Free Speech Zone later today. It's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call in toll-free right now or at any moment over the next 3 hours. We invite your participation, and we actually pay for the call. It's toll-free at 888-573-8372, which turns into 888-5-PETER-B, if you find that easier to remember. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Faiz Shakir is the research director at the progressive think tank, the Center for American Progress in Washington. He is co-editor of their Daily Progress Report. And right now he's trying to figure out the appropriate way to celebrate the 13th anniversary of the Contract on America. Faiz, exactly how are you observing that today?
I hadn't even known it was such a momentous occasion, but
thanks
for bringing that to my attention.
As a research maven, I am shocked. and Nudie took out a full-page ad in the New York Times just hoping that you wouldn't forget.
No way. I didn't see that.
And he's got a satellite TV feed that is underway to reawaken his lurking supporters around the country. I think it gets started in about an hour. So
I think I've heard of he's talking about solution days.
That's right.
Did you see that? Yeah, he's talking about solution days, where apparently he'll be holding summits to discuss conservative solutions to our ongoing problems.
And we really need some. You know, we haven't tried it. We haven't tried any conservative approaches to the issues in recent years. And it would be refreshing to go back to that fabulous Contract on America, like the constitutional amendment for a balanced budget. Does anybody remember that, including Newt?
Right. I mean, he's been on this campaign to distance himself from President Bush for a while now, and I think this is really the beginning of a full-fledged effort to try to demarcate the, quote, conservative movement from President Bush, and to say that they're two separate things, when, of course, all you and I and everyone else on our side knows that they're one and the same.
Now, I did lift the toll-free number in case you'd like to, just make Newt pay for your call. It's 866-580-NEWT. And go ahead, at your own risk, give it a call. I'm sure that it's monitored by the NSA. Faiz, let's turn to more serious issues here. Today there was a victory for progressives in the United States Senate as, by a veto-proof margin, they passed the expanded S-CHIP legislation. This, of course, will expand federally subsidized health insurance for children in the United States. And it is threatened with a presidential veto. And, of course, there are, some 24 votes short in the House. So this shapes up for a very interesting battle. At this point, are the House and Senate bills pretty much the same, so that with the momentum out of the Senate, is it possible that Pelosi will be able to find those 24 votes to override the promised veto?
Yeah, you know, for a while, the S-CHIP bill was hung up for a couple weeks as the House and the Senate had been debating, because each had passed a separate bill to expand S-CHIP funding, and then they tried to hammer out the details and find a compromise, and that's what took a long time. And ultimately, when they reached the compromise, the House, as you noted, passed it earlier this week, and the Senate passed it just now, and so the versions are identical, which should hopefully help the conference. When they go to conference, they should be able to get that through very quickly, and then, of course, they'll have to go back to the House and Senate to pass it. The Senate, by the way, has to, all they did today was vote on the cloture motion. You know, of course, with all important pieces of legislation now, the senators or the Republicans throw up the filibuster, and so they got the 69 votes, more than the two-thirds necessary to overcome presidential veto. So they're looking good on the Senate side. They'll have the formal vote on passage sometime tonight, and then I guess all eyes will turn back onto the House and see if we can get those few votes you were talking about.
Yeah. And this I think, is very interesting. The president says this is creeping socialism, and I don't really think it is socialist, but I support government-based health care, and I would like to see every American extended that offer over the next few years. Now, one of the other issues that has been quite contentious in the Senate this week is the Kyle Lieberman Amendment. And I find that it has been amended, and I'm still trying to get a grip on exactly what it says. It is a sense of the Senate, so it's not a binding resolution. Am I correct?
That's right. Yeah, uh-huh. You're right about that.
Okay.
And also, I think one of the key amendments they took out in this provision was the use of, quote, military instruments to go after Iran, and that was an issue that perturbed a lot of people, most notably Senator Jim Webb, who went on the Senate floor and said that the amendment as it was originally written was Dick Cheney's fondest pipe dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dick Durbin followed that up, the Senate Majority Whip, and said that this was the first step to declaring war with Iran. So there was a lot of anger over the original version of the bill. They amended that. They took out some of the mentions that we would be using military instruments against Iranian forces. And now it's basically been watered down to a designation of Iranian Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist entity.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was very interesting, too, in the Tim Russert gotcha game in New Hampshire last night, when they did permit people other than Senator Clinton to speak. By the way, she voted in favor of the Kyle Lieberman Amendment, and Dodd, Biden, and Obama did not. I think Obama was not voting, and Biden and Dodd did vote against it. I think that's correct.
Obama did not vote, that's right, and all the others voted against it except for Hillary.
And John Edwards, it was very interesting because Edwards and Obama and Richardson were all taking some pains to, well, and Joe Biden, too, to separate themselves from Hillary Clinton, but doing it in a very gentle way with all due respect. And I found it interesting because Edwards used himself. He said, you know, I learned from my bad vote, my mistaken vote, to let this president go to war. And other people haven't, clearly alluding to the senator from New York. And in saying that, he said that, I don't trust this president. You can't even authorize him to take the first step. And I thought that was a very strong statement in that context. And again, this funky format didn't even allow Senator Clinton to respond to that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I thought that was one of the most powerful exchanges of the night. It went to, well, it wasn't an exchange, you know, it was really Senator Edwards talking, and he said that there's a, that he and Senator Clinton had voted for the Iraq resolution, and that he and Senator Clinton had learned a very different lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And his lesson was that he should never trust giving authority to President Bush to use it wisely. He said he would no longer trust President Bush to do that. And I thought that was a very compelling message. And because, of course, this is what this resolution on Iran was all about, giving the authority to the president to start to ratchet up pressure against Iran. And ultimately, the question boils down to, beyond the substance of the argument, whether you trust that this will not be used as an effort to initiate war with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, I think there's obviously a lot of skepticism and a lot of concern, and I think it's rightly stated that that this was an effort to ratchet it up, and that this could that we shouldn't trust giving this authority to the president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was just a very interesting statement, and it'll be curious to see just how well it plays over the next week or two, and if the Clinton campaign decides to respond more forcefully to that issue from an independent basis. The other thing that struck me is Russert kind of went, he didn't do this to everybody, but he did have a gotcha file on Mike Gravel's bankruptcy history, and Gravel went sideways when he was confronted with that. He hit Dennis Kucinich for the bankruptcy of Cleveland, and then he hit Hillary Clinton for the failed health care reform in the 90s and her vote on Iraq. And she was able to divert attention only to the health care issue and never responded to the Iraq issue that Russert raised, and he didn't follow up on it. He just went directly on a health care, track from that point on.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how you feel about this, but it's interesting that the increasing consensus seems to be that the race is over. I don't know if you're feeling that as well, but it seems to me that there's this growing consensus that the race is now over, and if that's true, it's amazing that we haven't had more of a discussion about the lessons learned from Iraq and whether we're comfortable with the fact that the front runners are now understanding what the mistakes were and that we aren't going to go down that same road again. It seems to have largely been a debate that's been completely glossed over.
Well, I agree, and the other key point is that we've had no real substantive hearings or investigations regarding Iran, and here Joe Lieberman's about ready to declare war. I think Jim Webb's cautionary note on that was right on target, and I also think that Edwards' amplification there that we just discussed was important, too. We're going to take a quick break and return with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. If you have a question or comment, call us now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Sofas and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
ProgressReport.org and sign up to have it delivered every day into your inbox there via email. Faz, you made a great point just before the break there that it does appear that the media has resolved all the issues for Democratic voters and pretty well anointed Hillary Rodham Clinton as the Democratic nominee. And, of course, President Bush and a lot of Republican candidates from Giuliani to Romney flatly state that she's the one they can beat. I find this very interesting, and I think part of it is the way these so-called debates are structured, and that legally they're not on broadcast television, they're on cable. And as a result, cable is not subject to the equal time rules of the 1934 Communications Act as amended and gutted. And so Tim Russert doesn't have to pay attention to every candidate. And there was this scramble. Joe Biden was not permitted to engage in the conversation much about Iraq, even though his measure, his amendment to the defense bill recommending partition, which I think is interesting but controversial. I haven't really come down on either side of that. He was frustrated that he couldn't talk about it. And Russert was in this low-tech mode. He didn't have video clips to play his gotcha game. He didn't even have a teleprompter. He was often seen, you know, with his eyebrows and not his eyes on camera. And the way this all plays out is kind of an affirmation of the conventional wisdom. And based on the existing polls, they decide how much time the candidates get. Therefore, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. I would take it one step further. I don't actually think that people watch the debates. I think that most people get a sense of what's going on with the race with the kind of a five-second viewing of television, maybe a glance at the headlines, those kinds of things, very non-substantive and intensive as we would like to make them out to be. So I think that what happens here is that the unequal distribution of time in the debates creates the impression that there are certain, comes from the impression that there are certain front runners. Then the media then focuses on those and then distributes the headlines and the clips and on television shows accordingly. And so what you end up seeing are the front runners replayed over and over and over again, and some of the second-tier candidates not getting the amount of time. Ironically, I think the moment that it seemed to crystallize for Senator Clinton was actually when Karl Rove started to go after her. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, President Bush in a recent interview suggested she would be the winner. And it was ironic to me that there's an incredible amount of groupthink that's still out there in our society, that once a few leading spokespeople declare a winner before the contest has even occurred, that everybody just kind of goes along for the ride.
Yeah, yeah. And I just would like to see a real vigorous debate, get all these issues aired out, and if Hillary is the front runner at the end of all that, hey, I can accept that. But I really would like a fairer process, and the media is not assisting us in that regard.
And yeah, exactly. The media isn't doing its part, and I would say that also half the burden falls on the rest of the Democratic field. I don't think that they have contested it in quite the way that I had hoped that they would. There is a very spirited disagreement and something that goes to the core of their values and a disagreement over the principal direction in which they'll lead. They all kind of are in this muddled area where we're all going in the same direction. We all largely agree, but we have nuanced differences, and I don't think that really brings home to people the differences and the lessons that you've learned over your life.
And Motormouth Joe Biden caught himself at one point. He was referring to Hillary's baggage. He called it the stuff from the Clinton administration. Some good, some bad, makes it harder for her to really negotiate a new health care package. And then he said, policy stuff. And I get the feeling that all of these guys, and they are guys, are standing there saying, you know, I want to be vice president. She's probably going to be the nominee. So the less I cross her, the better my shot is to be on the ticket with her.
That's one of the other odd effects that occurs. You know, once you get a front runner that seems to emerge, and I think it's starting to emerge that way, but then ironically you would think that front runner would be targeted more. But no, I think everyone starts to say, well, you know, if she's the president, then I would want to be Secretary of State. I'd want to have good relations with her, and therefore actually ends up spawning less and less disagreement and more backslapping. So I kind of wonder if at any point here we're going to have a spirited disagreement in the field.
Yeah, haven't seen it yet. Thank you, Faz. Great to talk with you.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, Faz Shakir from the Daily Progress Report, progressreport.org. Coming up next, Father Roy Bourgeois returns to our program. We're going to talk about the Bloody School of Americas at Fort Benning, Georgia. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
The Monterey Toreadors have invited the Santa Cruz Cardinals to come play at MPC this Friday. 7:15 pregame, 7:30 kickoff.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Emerson. Whatever the demand, whatever the challenge with Emerson, you can consider it solved. And by Tourism Ireland. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com. I'm Charles Osgood. Last February, when shoddy outpatient treatment for Iraq war veterans at Walter Reed Medical Center and other military and VA hospitals was revealed, everybody, from President Bush on down, said this was unacceptable, had to change. And the Pentagon says it is changing. Deputy Undersecretary of Defense Michael Dominguez.
We are making changes. We're making them fast, and we won't stop until our wounded warriors have the support system they deserve.
But the Government Accountability Office, an arm of Congress, says it's not good enough.
In the short term, the Army is doing some what I would call more operational tactical approaches, almost band-aids.
More after this for Emerson. No one just walks out on the African grasslands one afternoon and says, this is where I'll put a telecom system. That's why businesses turn to Emerson, because Emerson accurately predicts what world trends mean for them so that they can supply customers with cutting-edge technologies to create a modern wireless network across the vast African plain. Emerson anticipates customer needs so that when they're ready, Emerson's ready. Emerson. Consider it solved. I want to tell you about a place in Europe just waiting to be discovered where breathtaking natural wonders leave even a seasoned traveler speechless. Ancient castles where you can live like a king. Bustling cities where culture, fine dining, and vibrant nightlife meet. The place is Ireland. Because in Ireland, not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK for your free Ireland vacation planner. After months of review by no fewer than 8 congressional committees, a presidential task force, a presidential commission, the Pentagon, and the VA, the Pentagon and VA still don't share medical records as injured vets move from facility to facility.
Having to run that double gauntlet causes additional pain and confusion, literally adding insult to injury. This has to stop.
Congressman Tom Davis, Republican of Virginia.
They're trapped in a system they don't understand and that doesn't understand them.
So far, so bad, says Davis.
After so many promises but so little progress, we need to start seeing concrete results.
We had better get these agencies on the ball, and now, says California Democrat Henry Waxman.
In the coming years, hundreds of thousands of soldiers will return home and will need DOD and VA care for injuries or mental illness. We can't let these soldiers and their families down.
Bureaucracies do move powerful slow, but the GAO report says...
At the end of the day, the Army and DOD in general has to get at the systemic issue, which is how do we expedite the disability process and make it more accurate and timely.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 past the hour. Joining me in a moment, Father Roy Bourgeois. Leading the charge to close the School of the Americas, a school of torture and atrocities that you and I have been paying for years.
revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture.
Yeah, don't worry about the torture.
You will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Three pieces and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. TV commercial for a pop a pill culture. Drug companies circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother you? Fire.
Some socially aware rock and roll from San Francisco's Michael Fronte and Spearhead. It's called Yell Fire. And you're not supposed to do that in a crowded movie theater, but sometimes you need to sound the alarm. And Father Roy Bourgeois has been on the front lines at Fort Benning, Georgia for many years now. Father Roy, thanks for joining us on the program today.
Good to be with you, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. And a special shout out to our listeners in Eureka and Arcata. Father Roy is going to be visiting the Eureka area next week, October 4th and 5th. I'm sorry, October 3rd and 4th. And we will pass along the details of those two events a little bit later in this half hour. Father Roy, first of all, for our listeners who have never heard of the School of the Americas, which has now been renamed the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, a mouthful that doesn't even spell a nice acronym, give people a little history of this sordid institution there based at Fort Benning.
Well, it's not a very complicated issue. This school has been operating for over 50 years. It came to Fort Benning, kicked out of Panama in 1984. It's a combat school that has trained over 60,000 soldiers from 18 countries in Latin America, most of them arriving from Colombia today. But this school has trained dictators, death squad leaders. It was well known in Latin America as a school of assassins. Here in the U.S., hiding behind this wall of secrecy, we came upon this school in the late 80s after six Jesuit priests and their two women co-workers were massacred in El Salvador when a congressional task force documented that those responsible for their death were trained at the U.S. Army School at Fort Benning, Georgia. I came with friends and we started the SOA Watch. And what we found in our backyard here in the United States was really a school for terrorists. Those trained at this school returned to their home countries after learning techniques in torture, counterinsurgency, commando tactics. They returned to their home countries and really have caused untold suffering and death to their people, all financed, paid for, of course, once again, with our tax money.
And Father Roy, this week there's been a lot of rhetoric flying around at the United Nations General Assembly in New York, as President Bush and many of his cohorts accuse Iran of being a state sponsor of terrorism through its support of Hamas and Hezbollah, of course, their activities in Lebanon and in the occupied territories there of Palestine. And I'd just like to ask you if a fair reading of the definition of state-sponsored terrorism aptly applies to the work there at Fort Benning.
It is. It's a part, I must say, it's just one of the many parts of our U.S. foreign policy that has brought a lot of suffering, a lot of terror, a lot of horror to people on the receiving end. The biggest problem, I think, Peter, in our country is ignorance. It's our greatest enemy. It's not out there. We know so little about our country's foreign policy and other countries like Iran, Iraq, their cultures, histories, so much older than our own, and that ignorance will get us in big trouble as individuals and, of course, as a nation. And having traveled to Iraq, just returned recently from Iran, and over this last year visited 13 countries of Latin America, I'm sure our listeners are very aware that we are not very well liked in these countries. We are seen as the terrorists wherever we go. Bush is referred to as the biggest criminal of all, the main terrorist in the world today. And I have to say, as a U.S. citizen, I agree with them. Our foreign policy has caused untold suffering and death to so many. I'm just reading now about the number they're giving for casualties, those killed in Iraq, over a million. Most of those civilians, many, many of them children, people that we visited in Iraq, many of them are dead. And I can only say that, you know, what we have here is a crime against humanity. Just recently, Charlie Litke, a Medal of Honor recipient from Vietnam, resident of San Francisco, he and I recently ran a full-page ad in the local paper, a special appeal to the soldiers of Fort Benning, referring to the war in Iraq as a mistake. Well, if I had to submit the ad today, I think we should have said that it is a crime against humanity, not a mistake. And I think it's about time we start talking about bringing the architects of the war, beginning with Bush, working our way down to Cheney and others, Rumsfeld,
yep,
and bringing them to trial for crimes against humanity. I mean, I just see, and I listened to our Democrats just before you called, you know, talking once again, how are they going to justify the new request for $40 billion for the war now?
Well,
it just goes on and on.
It's even more than that, Father Roy. It's up to almost $200 billion. 50 of it is for heavy equipment, the MRAPs that they should have sent much sooner. And once again, you know, they are demanding more money so late in the process here. And if anybody resists, they're going to be accused of not supporting the troops,
yes,
which is just this whole empty cycle of rhetoric. And Father Roy, I want to ask you, as a religious person, just how offended are you by the invocation of religious themes that President Bush and others have used to try to turn this incredible invasion and occupation into some sort of a righteous, holy war?
Well, I must say I'm very, very angry with our president and, again, the architects of the war, but I'm even more upset with our religious leaders. As a Catholic priest, I'm very, very discouraged and angry toward U.S. Catholic bishops, those in the Vatican, along with other, you know, spiritual leaders of other faith traditions. Our religious leaders today in this country are silent. It's like Iraq doesn't exist. And I'm reminded of the Old Testament prophet when he said, you know, they will take evil and call it good. They will take the lie and call it truth. Well, our politicians have been very skilled at this. They've taken the lie and given it to us as truth. And we bought into that lie. But now, of course, the polls are showing that most of us now oppose the war. But still, we have our religious leaders who are silent. And it's so sad that 12 Democratic leaders who are Catholic have to call a meeting with about a dozen U.S. Catholic bishops to request, to appeal to them recently, to speak out on Iraq. And all I can say is our religious leaders have become corporate executives, as our politicians. Our shepherds have become government sheep. And I don't think we can wait for them to speak. Like Bishop Oscar Romero, who was killed by graduates of the School of the Americas, he said it very well. Let those who have a voice speak out clearly and act boldly. And this is what I think we have to do today. I mean, it's just, you know, we're participating in crimes against humanity. Our religious leaders are silent. Our Democrats are no different than the Republicans. What are we to do? How are we going to separate ourselves from this madness? That's the question I'm asking.
Yeah. Father Roy Bourgeois is with us. He is the founder of the School of America's Watch, and I'd like you to visit the website soaw.org. It's simple, School of America's Watch, soaw.org. And if you go there, you will see that this man and his many supporters, you've done a great job, Father Roy, of reaching out to religious communities, the peace community, and many people who I would describe as unchurched, who care deeply about the issues and this negative legacy created there right in your backyard in Fort Benning. And I think there's some very important information, also some inspiring stories. Alice Girard just completed her jail term and was released in the last week or 10 days. And you are gearing up for your annual protest event that's coming up in November. Tell us a little more about what you plan for the weekend of November 15th to the 18th.
Yes, we'll have over 22,000 coming from all over the country, from California to New York, from Chicago to New Orleans. We gather here usually the weekend before Thanksgiving. This year it'll be November the 17th and 18th, and we'll be here to keep alive the memory of the tens of thousands of sisters and brothers of Latin America who have been killed, who are victims of our country's foreign policy, and in particular this combat school that we're financing here at Fort Benning. There will be students. More than half will be university and high school students. Lots of veterans. We will also talk, of course, as we gather, not only about U.S. foreign policy in Latin America and what this school is doing, but also we'll have some veterans talking about Iraq. And we will have a lot of senior citizens, parents with their children. We started here, Peter, years ago with 10 of us, and each year the numbers grow. We are here now gathering by the thousands. Probably we'll have 25,000 this year. And what we are doing here is simply saying that we want this terrorist school shut down. We are sending a message to Washington that we don't want our hard-earned tax money going into this kind of school. Some $25 million, true? Mm-hmm. A drop in the bucket for the Pentagon. But that money should be going into our inner cities. That money should be going to places like Bolivia or Iraq to help build schools, to bring medicines to people, and not to bring them rifles and guns. When you think about it, as I do, we have more weapons, more sophisticated bombs than ever before. We are the most powerful nation in the world. When we travel now throughout Latin America and other countries, we refer to as El Imperio, the empire. And it saddens me, it angers me to have countries refer to us as the empire, but really we are the empire. But we have to think about something. We as a nation, as an empire, have never felt less secure with all of our weapons. So what does this say? What it says to me is that we've got to stop participating in what I refer to as madness. We've got to close this school. We've got to bring our troops back from Iraq, not tomorrow, now. We've got to stop looking at war as the answer.
Yeah.
We've got to bring down these politicians who are aggressive, like Bush. I don't know if it's just that he's eating too many steaks or what, but we've got to bring people into our leadership of Washington who are talking about diplomacy, dialogue, coming to a table and talking with people and simply saying to them, if they want to declare a war, they should go and fight it. And I'm speaking as a Vietnam veteran. I volunteered for that war in
Vietnam.
Right,
you served. Uh-huh.
Our cause was noble, I felt. But what I learned was those who declare the war will not go and fight it. And these tough, macho-talking politicians in Washington, we should simply say to them, Democrats included, if you support the war, why don't you go over there and fight? What are you doing here in the U.S.?
Father Roy, stay with us. We're going to hang up and call you back on another line because I got a little echo there. It could be our NSA monitor, Benny. We'll dial you right back. We're going to take a break here and return with Father Roy Bourgeois. Visit the website, SOAW.org. That's School of the Americas Watch. And if you can, travel to Fort Benning in November to help join the massive protest there. And after the break, we'll tell our listeners in Eureka where Father Roy Bourgeois will be appearing in the coming week. You can call in right now. Your calls and comments are welcome. 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free, 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth.
Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Father Roy Bourgeois, a great American who is continuing his efforts to shut down what used to be known as the School of the Americas. And for our listeners on KGOE, the mighty 1480, Eureka, Arcata, and Humboldt County, I want you to know that Father Roy has two appearances in your area, Wednesday, October 3rd, and Thursday on the 4th. So on the 3rd, he will be speaking at Founders Hall at Humboldt State University. And it says here 1:30, 3:30, 4, and 6 o'clock. Are you giving different presentations, Father?
That's what I hear.
Okay. You'll do what they tell you when you get there, I'm sure. And then 7 to 10 p.m., the reason this is a little bit weird is in the email, it kind of got shifted, you know, in the formatting. 7 to 10 p.m., there is a gourmet dinner prepared by Celebrations Catering at the Marsh Commons. That's on 8th Street in Arcata, $15 or a sliding scale. And then on the 4th of October, he'll be speaking at the Labor Temple in Eureka, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., and admission is free. His appearances are being coordinated by Veterans for Peace in Humboldt, and the telephone number for more information, 707-498-5889, 707-498-5889. Father Roy, just before the break, you made a comment based on what you learned in your service in Vietnam, and it struck a chord. I played a tune from Michael Franti a little bit earlier. This is another one from the same CD called Yell Fire, and just the opening lines here echo what you told us a moment ago. Let's listen.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them.
And Father Roy, we've descended into this video game culture where war doesn't appear to have grisly consequences because we just change the channel when it gets too ugly.
That's it, Peter. Yesterday I spoke at Auburn University a few days before I was in a high school. Wherever I go, I think it's so important simply to say to remind students that there's nothing more serious than having your government leaders tell you you have to go off to war, to fight. Again, you know, as we know, they're not going to go. They're the cowards. They will stay here. Their sons and daughters will not go. And I remind students, I live here in Columbus, Georgia, right outside of Fort Benning. In South Columbus, those recruiters are going into the minority poor schools. That's where the recruits are coming from. And they're the ones who are dying in Iraq. And what I say to them is that they have a choice. They can say no. And that was what our ad, Charlie Litke and I, wanted to say in that ad, that we can say no to war. We do have an option. Just know that if we are killed, and it's very likely we will if we go to war, that it will forever change our families. They will grieve for us for years.
Yeah.
And we also will come back from that war change, suffering with, you know, doing battle with the demons. And what we've come to the conclusion, so many of us, is this, that we are not made for killing. We are not made for war. And we simply have, and I say this now to people who support the war in Iraq, I don't argue with them. I simply ask, what are you doing here in Columbus, Georgia? What are you doing in this city where I'm speaking? Why aren't you in Iraq fighting? Why are you sending the best of our country, our youth, to fight your war that you don't have the courage to go there to fight?
And Father Roy, let me jump in here. We've got a couple of callers for you. Patrick in Ferndale, listening to KGOE. Welcome, Patrick.
Yeah, hi, Peter. I wanted to know what Dr. Roy thought about supporting Dennis Kucinich. She's one of the only guys that I hear talking like Dr. Roy about how we have to change our policy and talk peace, and he's willing to stand up for that. I don't hear anybody else standing up for what he stands up for. And
He's the only one in recent memory who's talked about peace through strength and also talked about, strength through peace is, strength through peace is his slogan. He turned it around. And he, Father Roy, is one of the few people who's talked about creating a cabinet-level Department of Peace.
Yes, of all the candidates, of course. Dennis Kucinich is a longtime friend. We're expecting him to be with us in November to speak before the thousands here. I know him. He's a man of peace, a man of integrity. And really, he, I think, would be our best hope among all of the candidates to stopping this madness in Iraq.
Thank you, Patrick. Joe in Brookings, Oregon, you're next with Father Roy Bourgeois.
Yes. What do you think the chances are of Cuba or Venezuela or even Colombia being attacked during the next administration? Of course, we know there's a chance of Bush, but I mean, would there be much difference in the next administration? Like, for instance, with the close ties between the Clintons and the Cuban exile community in Miami, I see an upcoming war in Latin America. I think it's a good possibility.
All right,
yeah, I don't
Father Roy.
Know where we're going to get all these troops from. Now, among the 13 countries we visited recently in Latin America, we went to Venezuela. We met with President Hugo Chavez. And what the people were saying to us there was that they felt grateful that all of our soldiers are in Iraq, because if they weren't, they would be invading Iraq. They would be going after their president, Hugo Chavez, who's for the first time they have a president who's directing billions of dollars from the oil reserves into the lives of the poor, schools, hospitals. They're coming up. They're getting titles to their land. Just very briefly, we visited these countries of Latin America, 13 of them, with their presidents, defense ministers, human rights leaders, with the express mission of having them sever their ties to this school that we're trying to shut down. And I'm happy to report that four of these countries have done just that. They have stopped participating in this school of terror, and they are Venezuela, Argentina, Uruguay, and Costa Rica, where we met recently with President Arias. Now this coming
and Father Roy, I'm sorry, Father Roy, I'm out of time here. The clock has run, but thank you very much for joining us. I want to direct people to SOAW.org, and in Eureka, call 707-498-5889 for more information. Keep it up, Father Roy. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, Peter. You give us hope.
All right, my pleasure.
More coming up on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you have past due problem debt, we can help. Whether you have personal debt problems or business debt, we can save you anywhere from 40 to 80% off that debt. My name is Rhonda, and I am with BHR & Associates, and we are professional debt negotiators. We charge nothing up front, and if we can't help you, there is no fee. You will have the option to accept or not accept any settlement we reach on your behalf. Remember, no results, no fee. We will be happy to discuss this with you further. There's no obligation whatsoever. Please get in touch with us now for more details and information. Call now. Ask for Rhonda. I will be happy to review your situation.
Don't let mounting debt and collection calls ruin your life. Call now, 888-581-5888. Let the pros negotiate with your creditors with no upfront cost or obligation. Call now, 888-581-5888. That's 888-581.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
High-level attention to the air travel mess.
We got a problem. We understand there's a problem. And we're going to address the problem.
In Gina, Louisiana, jailed black teenager Michael Bell gets out on bail.
After thousands, ten thousands of people marched, he is free.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Air travelers, your plight has not gone unnoticed at the White House. President Bush met today with his transportation secretary and the acting head of the FAA and promised to do something about all the flight cancellations and delays.
Endless hours sitting in an airplane on a runway, and there's no communication between the pilot and the airport. It's just not right.
But a solution, as CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports, won't be easy.
Part of the problem is that flying is just so popular right now that the airlines are all adding more flights. The planes are packed. They want to travel at those peak times. They want to give travelers more options. And so some of the nation's largest airports are just getting overcrowded. There are more flights during the peak times than can actually take off.
Transportation Secretary Mary Peters will focus first on JFK in New York, which has had some of the worst meltdowns. If scheduling can't be improved, she says the government might order a reduction in the number of flights. And Peter says airlines might be charged more to fly during peak periods. Now this.
I just peeked in your medicine cabinet.
Excuse me?
Yeah, wow.
I can explain.
Do you explain all those different pain relievers?
Oh, that. Well, I have one for headaches. I got another one when I hurt my back. And...
Stop. It's time to go all Advil. Advil is the every pain reliever.
Isn't there
something that's stronger or lasts longer? No.
So it'll work when my legs are sore from chasing down snoopers.
I suppose. Shouldn't you be all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers, use as directed.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
He is perhaps the best known of the Gina Six, six black teenagers who were treated severely after the beating of a white classmate. Michael Bell was charged with attempted murder. That charge was later dropped, but he was tried as an adult and convicted of aggravated second-degree battery. Then that conviction was overturned, but the 17-year-old remained in jail until today. Al Sharpton helped to spring him.
We're fighting to say that there must be one level of justice for everybody, and you cannot have adult attempted murder for some and a fine for others and call that equal protection under the law. Two wrongs don't make one civil right.
Bell will be treated as a juvenile from now on. Reed Walters, the district attorney in Gina, Louisiana, made that announcement earlier today.
I have decided not to appeal the decision of the Third Circuit Court of Appeals that overturned the conviction of Michael Bell in adult court and sent the case back to juvenile court.
His bail was set at $45,000. Blackwater, one of the private security firms operating in Iraq, has been under fire lately for a shootout that left 11 civilians dead. But now congressional investigators blame the company for a gruesome event that killed four of its own people and had a dramatic effect on American public opinion. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports.
It was one of the most shocking moments of the war. Four Blackwater guards escorting a convoy through the city of Fallujah in March 2004 were gunned down, their vehicles set afire, their bodies dismembered, and hung from a bridge. Now an investigation by a House committee has found Blackwater ignored warnings and sent its four men unprepared into what was then the most dangerous city in Iraq.
It was a mission that another private security firm turned down as too dangerous. Another turbulent day in Myanmar. In the streets of Yangon, formerly Rangoon, anti-government demonstrators defied soldiers who fired into the crowd, killing at least nine people. Secretary of State Rice met with Myanmar officials in New York.
I can just assure you that the United States is determined to keep an international focus on the travesty that is taking place in Rangoon.
And the administration tightens sanctions on the military regime. That tropical depression in the Gulf of Mexico is now Tropical Storm Lorenzo. It's headed for the Mexican coast, and forecasters say it could be a hurricane by the time it gets there tomorrow. Tropical Storm Karen is still churning in the Atlantic, more than 800 miles east of the Windward Islands. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I'm a jockey, and when I'm racing, I can't let my allergy medicine put me in a fog. So I only ride Claritin Clear. Claritin relieves my worst allergy symptoms for 24 hours, and it's proven to make me alert and focused, not drowsy. When I get allergy relief and stay razor sharp, I'm ahead from start to finish. Live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Only brand clinically tested. Now's your chance to save on your next Claritin purchase. Look for coupon savings in this week's Sunday paper.
When you hear the term severe driver, you may think... But AutoZone wants to remind you that's not the case. Severe drivers are actually those folks, like all of us, who drive in stop-and-go traffic, extreme heat, and make frequent short trips. That's murder on your oil, so you need to change it every 3,000 miles. Now at AutoZone, get 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional motor oil and a Fram oil filter for just $12.99. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Do it.
Yeah, let's do it, Tone. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Glad you can join us. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with me and Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans affairs. He's with us this entire hour. And the toll-free lines are open at 888-573-8372. Translates to 1-888-5-PETER-B.
If you know what I mean, let's do the wild thing.
Scott Dick served in the Marine Corps, jumped over to the Army, and did 20, and got out, retired as a major, and he's living comfortably on the Central Coast. He dabbles in food, wine, and travel on the weekends, and he is our correspondent here and contributor on military and veterans issues. He helps me understand how it all works and military thinking, because I did not serve, and many of these issues are somewhat foreign to me. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing great, and I try to do dabble on the week with food and wine as well, like everybody else. I'm no faster, Peter, is what I like to say.
All right. People can find out more about that at tastyplanet.org, the website of Scott's radio show. Scott, I wanted to start off revisiting the Blackwater issues. We talked earlier today with Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress. The Progress Report is devoted to details about Blackwater and the recent incidents. And the headline leads, Worse Than Abu Ghraib. Today's New York Times on Thursday also has as its lead story a look at Blackwater's and the Blackwater's role in Iraq and some of the incidents that have occurred there. And you'll be happy to hear that Blackwater is far and away number one in reported atrocities. They have doubled the reports of DynCorp and Triple Canopy. Does that surprise you?
Well, Peter, it's always good to be number one, especially in a competitive business like that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, you mean in atrocities? Oh.
Yep.
Well, there's so many layers to this issue. I think what people miss in all this are a couple things. One, that they're undoing all the goodwill that the State Department is trying to do. In other words, Under the Hearts and Minds campaign being run by that fabulous American diplomat, Karen Hughes, who was famously, you know, she has two bachelor's degrees, and she was a reporter at a Dallas-Fort Worth area news TV station, makes her an expert in foreign public diplomacy and public affairs. And so she's over in Iraq trying to execute the Department of State, their mission to win the hearts and minds of the Iraqis. So what I love about this, and I don't see anybody picking up on in the regular media, is that as she leaves, say, a meeting with a, you know, with a local Indian or tribal chief, then Blackwater, her guards shoot up the countryside.
Yeah.
And maybe not literally when she's there, but when somebody else is there. So they go out to do a construction mission, and that is to win, that's part of the Win the Hearts and Minds campaign. That's a civil affairs, a military civil affairs, or a, you know, USAID mission. And then when they're coming home, Blackwater shoots up a bunch of women and children.
Well, and Scott, it's fascinating because just recently I reviewed a documentary DVD, and it's called, I got it over here, it's called Shadow Company. And it takes a look at the history of contractors, mercenaries, in recent years. And many of them go back to South Africa, Rhodesia, and the soldiers of fortune whose nations disbanded their armies or at least cut way back just started moving on to other conflict areas. And it's fascinating when they drill into the activities of Blackwater in particular in Iraq, because their M.O., is, you know, it gives heavy-handed a whole new meaning. They showed scenes where Blackwater convoys were going down the street, and they will literally run over or run off the road anybody who comes even close to them. And they talked, they bragged about sideswiping vehicles and giving them a brush back to, you know, basically show them who's boss. And when they conduct these activities and leave trails of blood and bruises and, you know, people who are scared shipless, they just shrug it off. You know, it's their job. Who cares? And so they have such a narrow focus. And you can understand the individual contractors themselves, but there ought to be a little guidance in the way they conduct their affairs, looking at the long view, not just protecting that diplomat today.
Well, here's two points to this, Peter. First of all, the DOD, there's right now there's a real quiet fight going on between the DOD and the Department of State. Somebody called the Department of State and said, let's talk about your contractors. And they said, why? The DOD has more Blackwater security guards than we do. And then they get to looking at the numbers, and the person flat out lied. The Department of State has $800 million in contracts with private security guards, and the DOD has $100 million. So they have eight times as many, and already they're trying to shift the blame over the DOD. The second part is the DOD, when a DOS convoy goes through and shoots up the countryside because they're independent contractors, and I'll get back to that in a second, are peeing their pants because the car gets too close to them, and they kill a bunch of people who are not insurgents. One, it grows a local insurgency where none may have existed.
Yep.
And that's a proven fact. Two, the Department of Defense, our guys who are, you know, making minimum wage compared to these cowboys, have to come in and sort out the mess. And the civil affairs guys, the ones American wearing the American flag on their sleeve, are the ones who have to go in there and soothe over these dead family members' feelings.
And they'll give them $2,500 and say, hope that fixes it for you.
Yeah, and we didn't do it, and we don't like these guys either, and what do you want us to do?
Mm-hmm.
So here you got the Department of State, who very easily could take, the mission of the Marine Corps has been to protect embassies worldwide for decades. Why don't they just give them a couple of Marine battalions and tell them to look after diplomatic security, get rid of Blackwater, and go from there? Now, Peter, independent contractors. In order to be, I don't think, under the way they conduct these missions in Iraq, that according to IRS regulations, the Blackwater employees are actually meet the test of an independent contractor. So that's someplace else.
Ooh.
That Congress should look at.
Scott,
IRS.
Scott, you're onto something there. I've never thought of that. We've discussed this, you and I, and with some experts, including attorneys who have represented the family members, survivors of Blackwater employees who've died in Iraq. And it's fascinating because Blackwater does write the contracts so that all of the liability rests with the individual. They're highly paid, certainly, for taking the
$550 a day.
The risks that they do. Mm-hmm. But you make a very good point. I happen to have studied the IRS regulations regarding to independent contractors because I run a small business and I try to stay in compliance. And there are 19 or 21 factors that the IRS looks at. Did you provide your own tools?
Well, obviously not, because an individual can't take his weapons into Iraq on his own. Next.
Do you get to choose your own work schedule?
No.
Do you get to choose where you work and which client of your multiple clients? You cannot work for just one to be a true independent contractor. You have to have multiple contracts to qualify for that status.
I would say not.
Yeah. I can't remember the rest of the 19, but those are the critical ones that are used, at least they were used in my IRS audit, which I won, by the way.
Now, there's also a federal regulation that prohibits the employment of a contractor in the direct chain of command. In other words, I couldn't work as an independent contractor if I went in and sat in a desk next to a government official and he said, hey, Scott, go over and get, you know, go type this, do this, do that, do this. Because that requires the emplacement of a federal employee. In other words, you have to hire somebody in the civil service to do that job.
Mm-hmm.
A government contractor is simply design me a website. They don't tell you when, they don't tell you where, they don't give you the tools. They give you the specifications. I want a website. I want this, blah, blah. I want this, blah, blah. I want this, blah, blah. Now, could it remotely be possible that, one, Blackwater is not violating federal regulation on direct personal services of prohibition, and, two, that they meet the IRS test for independent contractors? It makes no sense to me, and I can't. And, three, it doesn't pass the test of Karen Hughes goes out there and says, hey, why can't we all get along? And then Blackwater shoots up the local populace as they depart.
Right, yeah. That's very interesting, and we need to bring that to the attention of some federal officials. I think that's a fascinating angle that could help unravel this unholy alliance between these corporate contractors who do include mercenaries. Not all the contractors are mercenaries. I want to be very clear about that.
Peter, just let me make a distinction here. So you got the KBR, which is the company I don't really appreciate, but when they do the big contract, it's like provide three hots and a cot for the troop. Done. That's what they do. So that's completely different than this in-the-nitty-gritty five-paragraph mission order that they give these independent contractors from Blackwater. It's a completely different deal.
Yes, it is. We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. If you have a question or comment about Blackwater, we're also going to talk about General Petraeus, the move-on ad, also the effort, the use of bait that soldiers use to entrap people in Iraq. A lot of other issues on our agenda, too, so feel free to join us here toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And my email's available to you as well, peter@peterbcollins.com. Wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
And we're getting word of a problem northbound 17 right at the Cat's Restaurant. Looks like a some sort of stalled big rig there, and it is causing a problem. We're going to let you know about that. Also, a rather large problem in Los Gatos, southbound 85 just before Highway 17. It's a car on the shoulder, some debris as well. Taking a look at a Santa Clara problem, or San Jose, 87 Guadalupe Parkway, northbound after Kirtner, got a two-car crash blocking the second lane from left. Slow traffic southbound 1 just between Monterey and Carmel, and northbound 1 looking good. By the way, the rest of Highway 17 looking pretty good. And also want to mention an earlier problem, although CHP just cleared it, so it's not even worth to talk about. But I am going to mention this report is brought to you by Crystal Geyser Water, sparkling mineral water with zero sodium, no fat.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're talking military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. And this one's for Defense Secretary Robert Gates. Up on Capitol Hill this week, both hands extended. Give me your money, please. I know, you gave us $100 billion in May. We asked for $50 billion in August. And I just need another $200 billion to get through the next fiscal year. He did say please. Bob Gates is such a fine, well-behaved gentleman. We're talking with Scott Dick, and we'll get to the issue about the Pentagon's budget request. But first, we've got Dave on the line from Monterey County. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
Well, hi. Well, thanks for taking my call. I hate it when you say that.
Thanks for calling, Dave.
Okay.
Leave it at that.
Hey, I wanted to find out what you know about the apparent police powers that Blackwater acquired during Katrina. Apparently, you know, it's one thing being a Brinks driver with a weapon to protect something, but these guys were like going house to house without a warrant, confiscating weapons from citizens with automatic weapons, from what I understand. Could you tell us about that, please?
I don't know anything about Blackwater in Louisiana, frankly.
I can tell you a little bit, Dave. Okay. They did deploy a couple of hundred, I believe, Blackwater contractors in the post-Katrina weeks. And my colleague Tom Hartman has covered this in some detail. And Tom always refers to the Posse Comitatus Act. Excuse me. And that prevents the military from deploying inside the U.S., and he argues that that should apply to Blackwater, too.
So there are no pending suits against Blackwater from citizens in New Orleans?
I can't say that. I don't know the status.
Neither do I.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, well, it's an interesting situation.
It certainly is, and it's something of great concern. Thanks for bringing it up. Scott, what do you make of what I referred to, Bob Gates' request for more money?
I'm just really, you know, we thought it was outrageous when he came up with when Bush came up with the $50 billion, and Gates didn't know anything about it. So I don't know, I guess they think that, wasn't Peter the veto against the S-chip, wasn't it because it was too much money? It was tax and spend Democrats, $50 billion for kids?
That's part of it, yeah. Fiscal responsibility is Bush's new mantra.
So did he hit his head and wake up and decide that he was going to look at the way money is spent?
It could have been one of those pretzels that got lodged in his throat.
So I guess if it's okay, because there were children killed in Iraq by Blackwater contractors, so I guess it's okay to kill those kids and have no repercussions for Blackwater and spend the money in the appropriation, that $160 billion, but it's not okay for American kids to get fully funded coverage. I don't get it, and if there's anybody left in America that doesn't get it, then I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say, Peter.
The New York Times. Mr. Gates also laid out at the hearing a Bush administration request for an added $42 billion for war-related expenses in 2008. The request increases to nearly $190 billion, the amount the Bush administration is seeking for 2008, to finance military operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. In February, the administration asked for $141.7 billion for the wars, an amount that officials said was an estimate that could increase. And, you know, this, of course, is in budget, and then, of course, they'll come back with supplementals along the way. This is just a bottomless pit, and the Bush administration is trying to push through the weakened Democratic lines as a result of the Petraeus surge theater.
You know, Peter, and it says everything you need to know about Americans, that your average American who is not absolutely jumping on their local representative's desk about this. I'll give you a good example. How does it affect me, Peter? How does it affect you? You just came back from Italy. Mm-hmm. I try to go to Europe, and I try to do it smart, and I try to be a diplomat for America and not be an ugly American. The euro closed yesterday at 141.86, record low against the euro.
Yep.
And what I think our government is trying to do is get Europeans and other countries to buy American goods, start that flow. The problem is, if you don't like America, you're not going to buy. And so this is, he's as our first sergeant used to say, gentlemen, you do not want to poop in your own mess kit. And that's exactly what he's doing.
Well, and our great allies and defenders of freedom in Saudi Arabia have signaled that they are going to start trading oil on the euro, not the dollar. And that is a critical shift that can lead to, you know, further devaluation of our currency. And it masks some of the imbalance of trade issues, but the net effect is that Americans lose big, and there is more incentive to send our jobs and our products offshore.
And the thing about it, Peter, is that when we are now equal. Our dollar is equal to the euro, what the Canadian dollar used to be to the American dollar, say, 2 years ago. 3 years ago.
Right. Canadians are coming over the border to enjoy the powerful currency that they carry.
Right. And so for your average Americans, if you haven't realized what this war is really costing, despite the 3,800 young men and women killed and all the other casualties, this is going to punish us for a long time. And so this idiot saying, you know, this $50 billion for kids is just like 30, actually 35. $35 billion for kids, that's just like way too much. I mean, that's an irresponsible fiscal, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Scott, about 30 seconds, just a quickie here. Duncan Hunter appeared on the PBS NewsHour this week, and one of the comments I jotted down was he said that we're having much greater luck deploying Iraqi troops to the battlefield. Is there any battlefield in Iraq? I thought it was a civil war, and these are insurgent actions on the streets and, you know, car bombs and that kind of thing. What battlefield is Duncan Hunter dreaming of?
Peter, he is an idiot. They live in the battlefield. All they have to do is walk out of their front door to engage the enemy and to be engaged, if they're not doing it at night on their spare time.
I think that's very succinct. All right, when we return, we're going to pick up with General Petraeus, the theater, and, of course, these phony resolutions that passed in both the House and the Senate with too much Democratic support, condemning MoveOn.org for an ad that rhymed Betrayus with Petraeus. And we'll tell you who the first to do that was. It was, well, we'll tell you. Coming up next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Listen and tremble. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Everybody thinks the Democrats in Congress have wussed out because the money for Iraq has continued to flow, to the point that at last night's Democratic debate, none of the frontrunners were willing to guarantee they'd have the troops out even by the end of their first term. Well, except Dennis Kucinich.
You'll pledge to have all troops out?
By April of 2007, and you can mark that on your calendars.
Well, it's September of 2007 now, so we're going to have a problem.
We'll make that 2009. I'm ready to be president today.
Of course, he's at 3%. But the Democrats still have one secret weapon.
This senator, this man from the hill country, believes that it is time.
Senator Robert Byrd facing down the Pentagon men who came asking for more Iraq money after spending how much, Senator?
$600 billion.
The bill for which will ultimately be borne by?
Ultimately be borne by whom? Whom? The American people.
So listen and tremble, you who would immerse us in unending war.
As Mark Twain once said.
Doesn't matter what Mark Twain once said. What matters is that unless this war ends, the Democrats can guarantee the Pentagon generals will face questions that are at least three times as long.
I look forward to your testimony.
Now this.
Reason number 22 to switch to Geico. We think renters are cool. Now, we don't know if you were born cool or if it's just all the cool stuff you have in your apartment. The point is, if you want to protect your considerable coolness, ask Geico about renter's insurance. For as little as $12 a month, you can protect all the stuff you hold near and dear, including that combination flat-screen TV espresso machine. Now that is cool.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by and have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Be sure to try the chow fun noodles with broccoli and hot and sour soup. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's Restaurant in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. That's 394-5117. Jim's is top for takeout and great for catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside, 394-5117.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, meet some of the hottest companies that were at last week's West Coast Green Conference at Bill Graham Civic Auditorium in San Francisco. If you want to learn what green real estate is all about, you want to listen to Rock, Roll, and Real Estate this week, your number one source for all your real estate needs. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Don't forget, you can listen online at rockrollandrealestate.com. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Thank you.
live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco.
Watch out.
Call in anytime, toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the PBC show, and once again, we're live in Sacramento today on 1240 Talk City KSAC for the Vacationing Christine Kraft, named by the News and Review as the best talk show host in Sacramento. Congratulations, Christine.
Sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces, tell
the truth. We continue now with our contributor on military and veterans issues, Scott Dick. And I want to talk a little bit about the smiling face. I guess General Petraeus, I'm getting stuck there. General Petraeus didn't smile a lot. But I didn't feel he was always telling the truth there when he brought his dog and pony show and PowerPoint presentation into the Capitol in about a week and a half ago. And, Scott, I don't know if you heard about this, but I was shocked to learn earlier this week from Media Matters for America that it was Rush Limbaugh who first came up with the rhyme Petraeus and Petraeus. And do you know who he applied it to?
Yes, a decorated Vietnam War veteran, Chuck Hagel.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way that Limbaugh does stuff, you know, Peter, you don't do this on your show, I don't think. You say, well, a caller wanted me to say, and then you say something outrageous.
Yeah.
And that's what he said. And I think it's complete crap. That I think he made it up himself, or one of his staffers told him, hey, look at this. We could call him Senator Petraeus.
Yeah. So
they're a bunch of punks, Peter. Go ahead.
Well, and those origins should be at least a sidebar story in corporate newspapers, should be a nice little featured tidbit on Hardball, but they just blow right past us. Media Matters did an audit and found out that the Move On ad got 500 mentions in the first week after the ad was placed, and that the events of that particular day as Petraeus and Crocker were testifying, not under oath, as some people have misreported, but testifying before these large joint committees of the House and the Senate, nine soldiers were killed. And that got buried in the press as the move-on issue was permitted to dominate. And now we've seen these resolutions in the Senate and the House. The House one was more specific. It explicitly denounced move-on for the Petraeus ad. The Senate was more nuanced and just basically said that we don't support character assassination or that kind of personal attack. And you have pointed out, Scott, that both Dianne Feinstein and Congressman Sam Farr, the progressive from Monterey, voted for those respective resolutions?
Well, Feinstein voted for the Lieberman, you know, Republican from Connecticut, Kyle Amendment. Wait, Lieberman's a Democrat. I keep forgetting.
No, he's not. He's an independent.
Yeah.
He's a former and not recovering Democrat.
So she voted for that piece of trash.
Well, but she did vote for the Senate resolution that implicitly condemned the move-on ad.
Oh, see, I don't understand why our congressman did that. He knows we're progressive enough in his district that we would have his back. I don't know why he did it, and I would like to hear his explanation, because this is the most... Okay, as a strategy for the Republicans to get Democrats to eat their own, the tactic is to produce a bunch of idiotic, stupid legislation on Capitol Hill and then get our Democrats to vote with the Republicans and then have the real Democratic base eat them for lunch. And it's working because our Democrats, we don't have anybody that is any kind of, that I can see, in a position of authority that will tell the Republicans, hey, get lost.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Just say no to Republicans that will introduce some piece of crap legislation, and nobody's doing it.
Well, they should invoke Dick Cheney's personal message to Pat Leahy. Go F yourself.
Yeah, there's two good things about this. One that I don't think the other media boys are picking up, but Peter, you get to. Where was Admiral Fallon when Crocker was telling the conducting his dog and pony show.
Well, this is the other thing. On the web, it's widely circulated, this quote from Admiral Fallon that is dated to February of this year when Petraeus showed up for duty in Iraq. And, of course, Admiral Fallon is his immediate superior, the head of CENTCOM commander. Thank you. And we can't repeat all of the phrase, but he said that you're a kiss-ass little chicken ship. And I guess I got pretty close. Anyway, that, again, has been just buried by the corporate media.
And
that's a very important issue. It's not just the name-calling, okay? But it is name-calling, and it has weight. It has something behind it, because here is the guy who's really in charge of operations there, and he doesn't agree with Petraeus. But that gap is not being properly reported in the American media.
Who did we see at the table before? We saw Abizaid, CENTCOM commander, and Casey. Am I crazy or was that correct?
You are correct.
We saw Franks up there a million times, a big old guy up there with everybody else. So now we have Fallon, who ain't there, probably because when he swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution and the Senate Confirmation Committee that he wouldn't lie, and the White House said, hey, you're going to have to lie, he said, stick it. And so they put Crocker and Petraeus there. So it's a valid question. They asked the question, are you going to be General Petraeus or are you going to be General Petraeus? And I think he answered that with his own stinking PowerPoint slides. The second good part of that is that it's turned a bright light on all the GOP cockroaches. I hate to call them names, but that's what they are. And they all sort of scattered to the media saying, what a travesty this is. Do we have about a minute to listen to some sound bites?
Sure, go right ahead.
All right, so this is... now. Tucker Carlson does not send me. Out of 18 things on the embassy website that Carlson supposedly did, five of them were about O.J. and Brittany. So out of that 18, you know, five of them were completely useless and worthless, and I don't even know why they're on it. But David Schuster subbed for him, bless his heart, a real journalist. And this is he reached out to Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn. She's in Tennessee. Supposedly the 101st Airborne Division home is in her district. This is the ensuing conversation they had. So you have to bear with me, folks.
Go right ahead.
This is an issue that you're very concerned, of course, about the move-on ad. Is that right?
Everybody is concerned about the move-on ad, and everybody is concerned about what seems to be the violation of the public trust by the...
Don't forget, she says it's a violation of the public trust, so we're going to carry on.
The New York Times. Look, we all know that their circulation is down, that their stock is down, that they, I think it was last year, fired 500 people. Everyone is aware of that, but my goodness, to find out now that they are fire-selling their
Let's talk about the public trust. You represent, of course, the district in Western Tennessee. What was the name of the last soldier from your district who was killed in Iraq?
The name of the last soldier killed in Iraq, from my district, I do not
know. His name was Jeremy Bohannon. He was killed August 9, 2007. How come you didn't know the name?
I do not know why I did not know the name. We made contact with the families.
Bum, ba, bum, bum. I think somebody's going to lose their job in Tennessee.
That was a nice little trick. But the attack on the New York Times is interesting because MoveOn has ponied up extra cash to remove any hint that they were given favoritism in placing their full-page ad. And the Times has said, yeah, you know, we didn't adhere to our own rules. The ombudsman there wrote a column this past Sunday. But that's a tempest. It's an orchestrated set of issues, again, trying to distract people from the key message, which is, we can't believe what General Petraeus told us. Let's talk to Mike in Sacramento. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing, Peter?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to say, I don't know what I find more despicable, that pack of lion hypocrite thieves from the Republican Party in Congress or a bunch of pathetic cowards like we've got from the Democrats. And they're like a kid on the playground that you can go up to every day and steal their lunch money and then tell them, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to tell everybody that you're a bully.
Yeah, good point.
You put it very well, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for your call. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join us here. 888-573-8372.
Now, Peter, sorry to interrupt, but what gets me the most is she is representing the district of the 101st Airborne Division. They've been bloodied in Iraq and Afghanistan, and she goes on to say, we meet with the troops and we blah. BS. If she was doing her job, first of all, leaders do not care about stink and move on ads. The troops do not care about ads that attack a general's winky little ego. What they're worried is, you know, she should have scorched Schuster. Any real representative could have scorched Schuster by saying, giving him chapter and verse on what houses they visited, who they talked to, where they visited, the wounded they talked to, the last time she's been there at their homes, et cetera. She just goes on to say, yeah, we're in constant contact. B.S. She exposed herself both as a hypocrite and, I think, Peter, a liar. Because she can't say we if you mean your local staffer who's been to one funeral or been to one house visit.
Yeah. I want to turn to the Petraeus report and the context there. Steve Call, C-O-L-L, wrote an interesting commentary in The New Yorker dated September 24th. And he points out that the guy who wrote the Army Field Manual about counterinsurgency is David H. Petraeus. And that in it, he says, to defeat a resistance force in an irregular war, the manual says it's essential to recognize that political factors have primacy and may account for as much as four-fifths of the struggle. And he contrasts that with, of course, the politicization of the general's report, which is, fully in sync with the Bush administration. And it just seems, again, that these contradictions are obscured by the sideshow that's been created about MoveOn's ad.
Well, Peter, I just want to make a clarification. I would say that there is probably a 97% chance that Petraeus has never read that book.
Really?
Yes. Because...
Was it ghostwritten for him?
Well, all manuals are ghostwritten by a group of hardworking, underpaid, underappreciated majors who work at a certain staff level in all of these school areas like the Command and General Staff College at Fort Leavenworth. So majors slaved over that, and at most, he read, and then it was probably read by, one of his colonels, Fulbright colonels, and then he, at most, read probably an executive summary and maybe a couple of representative chapters. But the chance of him having read this cover to cover, I would say, are slim to none. And I'd love to hear, them come out and say, no, he read everybody. But the chances that he wrote it are also probably zero to nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's a very interesting insight, and I'll accept that. I would just say still that with his name on it, he ought to embrace some of those tenets as opposed to just becoming a political actor in this very messy drama of the occupation of Iraq.
Well, it's like a guy who can't cook writing a cookbook and putting his name on it and then disavowing any of the recipes that are therefore found in the said book.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is about the confirmation hearings, all of the Republicans said, this guy wrote the manual for counterinsurgency warfare. He's a genius. He has a Ph.D. Yeah, Ph.D. this.
Scott Dick is with us here. We're going to take a break. When we return, we're going to talk about a report from Iraq that snipers would lay out bait in order to attract targets and then shoot them dead. We'll talk about that as we continue with Scott Dick. Lines available if you want to join us. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Yeah. dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
And let's take a look at traffic on this Thursday afternoon. Going to give you the latest here. CHP telling us about a problem. Well, let's see. It's still being reported in San Martin, southbound 101 at San Martin Avenue. Piece of tire tread in the second lane from left. We're going to mention Santa Cruz Mountains. Some good news. We had an earlier problem. Big rig, northbound 17th, the Cats. Everything's cleared off. And to tell you the truth, there's really no problems to report on 17, which is fantastic. We do want to tell you about Aptos, northbound 1 at State Park Drive. We have a solo vehicle that went, looks like, off the roadway some 25 feet down an embankment. Minor injuries being reported there. Paramedics, fire department units on scene there. And Salinas, southbound 101 at North Main, the off-ramp's closed for road construction.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Our mission accomplished theme music. We continue with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues. And Scott, I have to ask you about this one. New York Times article from a few days ago. Under a program developed by a Defense Department warfare unit, Army snipers have begun using a new method to kill Iraqis suspected of being insurgents, using fake weapons and bomb-making material as bait, and then killing anyone who picks them up. This is according to testimony presented in a military court. The existence of this classified baiting program, as it has come to be known, was disclosed as part of defense lawyers' efforts to respond to murder charges at the Army press this summer against three members of a Ranger sniper team. Each soldier is accused of killing an unarmed Iraqi in three separate shootings between April and June near Iskandaria and planting drop weapons like detonation wires or other incriminating evidence on the bodies of the victims. Now, this seems to be a page taken out of the war on drugs in this country.
Well, this is really very disturbing, and anybody who doesn't see this, at first blush, it seems like it would be a way to flush people out. I mean, if you wanted to flush a bank robber, just put a briefcase of $20 bills on the sidewalk. But, you know, the way kids are nowadays, I mean, if some kid picked a piece of, you know, dead cord or something up and he was killed, how does this contribute to winning the Hearts and Minds campaign? How does this contribute to, even if it's a full-blown, full-grown, America-hating Al-Qaeda terrorist, how does killing them in this situation contribute to the entire war effort? It's the propaganda value to the enemy is so much greater than the benefit of shooting somebody who's unarmed, not in a firefight, not caught planting the IED, etc. Is this preventive? I mean, think of it, Peter. The equivalent is here in the streets of Salinas, a policeman seeing a kid who looks like a gangbanger, taking out his gun and shooting him. I don't get it. And how does that fit within the whole bringing democracy to Iraq theme and the United States being valued as a democratic leader? And we talk about, Bush talks about Al-Qaeda hating us for the things that we stand for. I don't get it. This is one of those ill-conceived, stupid ideas born of frustration because there are no uniforms in the Civil War, there are no battle lines, there are no, the only fortress is a green zone, there are no enemy. And this is a frustrational tactic that doesn't fit, I think, the strategic goal of bringing democracy to Iraq, or whatever it happens to be for this week.
This is a product of the Asymmetrical Warfare Group based at Fort Meade, Maryland. It grew out of a task force created after the invasion in 2003 to develop methods to defeat roadside bombs. Not all of the group's tactics were meant for sniper units, and most of them have not been publicly disclosed. For instance, the group last year advised kill teams from the 3rd Brigade to dig holes resembling those used by insurgents to hide roadside bombs and shoot Iraqis who try to place things in the holes. So, I mean, this is a form of an entrapment, and they're saying that, well, gosh, it's pretty effective, and it's pretty common, according to one soldier who is quoted in the New York Times.
If it's effective, then why are people still putting out IEDs and killing American troops? If it's effective, why isn't it working? Since they started the program in 2003, why don't we have this massive reduction in IEDs and attacks on U.S. forces? I tell you why, because it's not effective. It's a way for troops to get out some of their frustration about not being able to find an enemy because we don't belong in the middle of a civil war.
And you cannot end a civil war using snipers, particularly those who are entrapping them using this kind of bait. It simply doesn't, you know, have a long-term effect. It might take out, you know, certainly I can understand you put that bait out there and people with evil intentions might attempt to take that bait. But it's a very murky area. And again, getting back to hearts and minds and trying to find a way to end this occupation, that ain't it.
So how many do you, if you kill 10, how many are hardcore Iraqis, hardcore insurgents, and how many are inquisitive Iraqis? So if you can't give me the numbers, if you can't say it's working on a strategic level, because it's working against a strategic objective, and that is to win the hearts and minds, which is the only way they're going to get themselves out of this mess if they don't do anything else. So if it, as my boss used to say, you get 2 merit points for initiative and 10 demerits for being stupid. And that's, in this case, is what they get. You get the troops that can pull the trigger on somebody, but it's a little morale boost. That's all it is. And it doesn't fit what we stand for. It doesn't fit what we're trying to accomplish in Iraq. And it's counterproductive because all of these innocent people or people that can be claimed that they're innocent are recruiting tools for insurgents. As simple as that. I don't know, Peter, a lot of people know much about my life, but they didn't know. I don't think they know that a big team of Vietnamese and Americans investigators moved into the village about a month after the massacre, and they did a bunch of polling of local residents because it's really a 5-village complex. Not unanimously, overwhelmingly, peasants who said they didn't even know what this was all about said they were going to enlist if they hadn't already enlisted in the Viet Cong. So it turned people who were only interested in putting food on their table into Viet Cong recruits and members. And it did it because the Americans went into a village and killed a bunch of people. And that's what happened.
Well, and think of how many people are in desperate situations in Iraq. They have no work. They have no income. And if you see something laying on the ground that you might be able to sell to somebody for, you know, the equivalent of $3 or $5 and buy yourself some dinner that night, are you going to really think about, gosh, is this a trap? And am I a terrorist if I, you know, pick up this explosive charge or a trigger or whatever it is that they're using as bait?
Yeah, that wouldn't meet the stink test of the United States. And I don't know why they think when we're trying to, you know, create a democracy in Iraq, that this will work. The Iraqis are not uneducated buffoons. The uneducated buffoons are in Washington, D.C. They know what rule of law means. They know what a democracy could look like. They've been watching the rest of the world operate. They're not mentally retarded, small, like Neanderthal apes, which is what this program would work against.
Mm-hmm. Scott, just to wrap up the hour, we got an interesting email from Sean in Oakland. He said, referring to our earlier conversation here, that Rush Limbaugh was one of the original sources of rhyming Betrayus with Petraeus. Rush took it one step further and called soldiers who are against the war phony soldiers on his show this week. Media Matters, Think Progress, and Crooks and Liars have picked up on this. John Soltz of Vote Vets has responded on Huffington Post, and John Kerry has released a statement regarding this attack. He says, let your listeners know, if the Move On ad is going to get so much attention that it even became part of a Senate debate, then this should be condemned as well. Sean, thank you for a good point there.
Absolutely.
Scott, thank you for joining us, and we got to pursue that item about the IRS and these contractors in Iraq. I will keep that in mind, and next time we're talking to a member of Congress, or maybe we'll just call the IRS and turn them in.
And don't forget where you heard it, Peter.
I won't. Scott, Dick.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye. We're going to take a break here and return with a free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. We're going to talk about the Democratic debate between Tim Russert and Hillary Clinton with seven guys standing by and really wanting to get in the action, just not able to. Also, some bizarre comments from Duncan Hunter I'll share with you. If you want to grab a line, get ahead of the pack. Call me now, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Flights canceled, long delays, passengers stranded for hours on grounded planes. President Bush says something will be done. He met today with Transportation Secretary Mary Peters and Bobby Sturgill, acting head of the FAA. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports.
They are focusing in particular on JFK, where airlines schedule about 57 flights an hour during the morning rush, even though the runways can only accommodate 44. It's a guarantee for delays.
One of the reasons why our consumers on airline passengers are being so inconvenienced is because their skies are too crowded.
The president is creating a new rulemaking committee made up of New York aviation officials and the airlines. They'll have until December to find ways to cut delays.
Relief can't come soon enough for Jennifer Shirkani, an executive who flies frequently for business.
36% of my flights have been delayed, and 93% of those delays are non-weather related.
82,000 miles of flying so far this year, she's been delayed a total of 16¾ hours. In Gena, Louisiana, 17-year-old Michael Bell is out on bail. He was tried as an adult in the attack on a white high school student by six blacks. Al Sharpton, who's been leading protests in Gena, says his only interest is fairness.
We're not fighting for the right for kids to beat each other. We're fighting to say that there must be one level of justice for everybody.
Bell's conviction was overturned. The district attorney announced today that he will not appeal that decision, but instead will take the case to the juvenile court. For Americans, one of the most shocking moments of the war in Iraq was in March 2004 when a convoy was ambushed in Fallujah and four Blackwater security men were killed, their bodies mutilated and hung from a bridge. Now the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee says Blackwater was to blame for sending ill-prepared people into the most volatile city in Iraq.
Blackwater called the committee's account one-sided, but one of its own employees described the company's Baghdad operations as flat-out sloppy. Blackwater's director of operations in Baghdad sent an email to his headquarters saying, I need new vehicles, I need new communications gear, I need ammo, I need weapons. Ground truth is appalling. Yet the next day, Blackwater set out to escort a convoy through Fallujah, a mission another private security firm had turned down as too dangerous.
CBS News correspondent David Martin. Recently, overreaction by Blackwater security guards was blamed for the shooting deaths of 11 Iraqi civilians. Filmmaker Martin Scorsese has a new project. He'll direct a documentary about Beatles guitarist George Harrison. Harrison's widow, Olivia, says it would give George great joy to know that Martin Scorsese has agreed to tell his story. The price of oil rose above $83 a barrel today. The Dow, 34 points higher. The NASDAQ, up 10. This is CBS News.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
You can help ease your pain at the pump just by getting to AutoZone today. AutoZone has everything you need to stretch your tank of gas as far as it can go. What now? For a limited time at AutoZone, get two bottles of STP Fuel Injector and Carburetor Cleaner for just $3.98. When you add a bottle of Fuel Injector and Carburetor Cleaner to your tank, you can get better gas mileage and restore lost power and acceleration. Be sure to get to AutoZone before your next trip to the pump.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
President Bush has signed a measure to help poor and middle-income families with college costs. Pell grants are increased by $1,000, and the interest rates on federally backed student loans are cut in half. At the same time, government subsidies to lenders will be slashed. Even people who are better off might get a break thanks to competition among high-priced schools. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan takes a look.
Remember the YouTube presidential debate?
My topic is making college more affordable for students.
A lot were concerned about the high cost of higher education. Now, some top universities are extending more aid to middle-class and higher-income people, fearing they're losing good students to schools that charge less. Harvard and Duke are among a handful that are now opening the financial aid channels to people that otherwise might have been closed out. And at Stanford, $5 million is being set aside, especially for students whose parents earn six-figure incomes but still could use some help. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
And I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
I just peeked in your medicine cabinet.
Excuse me?
Yeah, wow.
I can explain.
Do you explain all those different pain relievers?
Oh, that. Well, I have one for headaches. I got another one when I hurt my back. And...
Stop. It's time to go all Advil. Advil is the every pain reliever.
Isn't there
something that's stronger or lasts longer? No.
So it'll work when my legs are sore from chasing down snoopers.
I suppose. Shouldn't you be all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers, use as directed.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Free Speed Zone portion of the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments fill up the hour. And you know the rules here, they're simple. You can call about any subject from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And a shout out to our listeners in Portland, Oregon, who tune in on KPOJ 620 on Saturdays and Sundays. Good to have you listening. Your best route to comment, drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. And we had some interesting developments today. The Senate passed the Children's Health Bill, S-CHIP it's called, with a veto-proof margin. Now, it's in the arcane rules of the Senate. It got 69 votes on cloture, and it's expected to mirror that in the final tally. And that sets up a showdown with the White House. They're threatening to veto that. Also, and I know many of us progressives are very frustrated with the work of the Democrats. We want to see much more progress, and it's not coming. In fact, I think we've seen setbacks here, particularly on the occupation of Iraq in recent weeks. But today, Democrats succeeded in inserting in the defense bill that will be very hard for the president to veto a new expansion of hate crimes legislation covering gays and others based on sexual orientation. And this is very interesting. Larry Craig took a wide stance and voted against it, but it did pass, and Republicans are fuming, saying this is social legislation attached to this bill. Now, it's a momentary victory because, of course, it's attached to one of the ugliest bills that is working its way through the legislature right now to provide even more money for this lost cause in Iraq. I also want to, before I get to the Democratic debate, I just want to mention a couple of things about Duncan Hunter. He's a congressman from San Diego, 28 years in the House, and he's really full of himself. He is the one who made the reference to how we're successfully deploying Iraqi troops to the battlefield. Battlefield? It's the streets, dude. It's a civil war. It's an what did Petraeus call it? It's a sectarian violence fueled by competition for power and resources. Yeah, a civil war. Anyway, he went on to argue that 75% of Iraqi forces are in the lead. I don't know where he gets that information. I haven't seen that reported anywhere. That they are taking casualties at a 3-to-1 rate as compared to the U.S. Okay, Duncan, you're in your own world. But it was when the conversation turned to immigration that he really went off the deep end. For one thing, he decried the 1986 amnesty bill that was signed by Ronald Reagan. And it was authored by Sacramento's favorite right-wing congressman, Dan Lundgren. Lundgren was in Congress in the 80s, served in as the Attorney General of California in the 90s, and then went back into the Congress when Doug Ossie retired, or I don't know what happened to him. At any rate, it was Lundgren's bill that Reagan signed that the Republicans consider the biggest betrayal on immigration law in recent history. And the other doozy that came out of Duncan Hunter's mouth, consider the way Al Gore has been pilloried for saying that, you know, he helped invent the Internet and that he helped expose the Love Canal in New York State near Niagara Falls. And they just hammered him falsely for exaggerated claims or outright lies. Well, Duncan Hunter on public television was permitted to claim, "I built the double-wide border fence along the Mexican-U.S. border near San Diego." And he makes it sound like he's out there on the weekends with his Black & Decker cordless gear actually constructing this wall. But we don't hear any attack machinery cranking up to say, "Oh, Duncan Hunter's an exaggerator. Oh, he's gilding the lily. He's a liar." No, they let the right-wingers get away with that 24/7. So, Dartmouth College, New Hampshire, scene of MSNBC's latest telecast, this one hosted by Tim Russert, solo. Well, there was a local reporter who read some questions off the Internet that I thought were really a distraction. But Russert dominated the exchange, and he focused primarily on Hillary Clinton, so it seemed to be a debate between Russert and Clinton. And you had all these others, Biden and Dodd and Richardson and Obama and Edwards and Kucinich and Gravel, trying to get a word in edgewise, but they were rarely recognized. And what came across pretty clearly is that Hillary Clinton is representing the Lieberman wing of the Democratic Party. She has a very carefully rehearsed spiel about Iraq, which tilts in the direction of people who want our troops out but doesn't really promise to get them all out or get them out in a speedy manner. And when others try to contrast themselves, as we were talking earlier today with Faz Shakir, these Democrats are afraid to take her on directly. And we speculate that either they think attacking a woman just will blow back on them, or they think that she's so far out in front that they want to hopefully secure the vice presidency or some key appointment in the Hillary Clinton presidency. Only Mike Gravel and Dennis Kucinich are really willing to, go full blast. And John Edwards had some strong words, but still, they hold back in attacking Hillary directly. Now, the best exchange was, as John Edwards talked about, the vote that Clinton cast in favor of the Lieberman-Kyle Let's Attack Iran amendment, and that he said, I voted for the war, I voted for Bush to go to war with Iraq, and I regret it. I was wrong once. He said, Hillary and I learned very different lessons from this experience. Now, I just said Hillary. I'm not sure he actually named her, but the inference was very clear. And he went on to say that you cannot give Bush the first step. He cannot be trusted. Now, those are strong remarks from the number three Democrat in the race as of the polls to date. So I'm frustrated because I really believe the way the media is operating, and I pointed out that cable doesn't have the same requirements as broadcast TV for equal time and balance. And so Tim Russert is permitted to focus almost exclusively on Hillary and just use the other guys as backdrops and cannon fodder. And he was really very low in his blows. He attacked Mike Gravel, who declared bankruptcy in 1980 and again in 2004. And Gravel was not at his best. He responded by saying, some of the greediest people in public office are right up here on this stage. Look at them. Many of them have done very well in public office. He said, I left the Senate no better than I went in. And Donald Trump has declared bankruptcy 100 times, he declared. I've only done it once. And then he said that the most recent bankruptcy was that he stuck the credit card companies for $90,000 of bills, and they deserved it, he said. And he used that money to help develop his national initiative, which I think is a neat idea. But gosh, Mike, did you have to go bankrupt to bring it to us? Then he hit Dennis Kucinich for the bankruptcy of Cleveland. And Kucinich did a great job of explaining what really happened there, and that he permitted the bankruptcy to occur because he was being blackmailed by the utilities and the banks in Cleveburg. So I think it was disappointing the way the whole thing rolls out, but there were some moments there, and I invite your comments. So let's go to your calls now. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Connie is on the line. Welcome, Connie. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. It's good to talk to you. I'm afraid I'm not going to be talking about what you just talked about.
Don't be afraid. The rules are you can talk about whatever you want as long as it's not scurrilous or just, way out in the weeds.
Okay. I wish that Scott was still on the phone because when you guys were talking, he had some really low things to say about people that weren't just with it about the child's health care. He had some bad things to say about them, and he said that just everybody should be for this thing. And as a mom, I want to tell you that I certainly want all the children to be covered in this country. I would really like to see universal health care. That's why I'm voting for Edwards. But anyway, I really wish that people wouldn't go after smokers all the time to cover the cost.
I see. Okay.
That's what really gets me. I mean,
you're paying $5 a pack now, aren't you?
Well, no, because I roll my own. I'm not paying anywhere near that.
I see. Okay.
But I've been doing that for the past 10 years because I can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think it's right. I don't understand how come. When it comes time to pay for something, why hasn't anybody thought of putting a tax on, like a 5-cent tax on drinks, alcohol drinks?
Well, alcohol is pretty heavily taxed at the federal level now, and as a consumer, I mostly drink wine, but I have been medicating my sick throat this week with Scotch whiskey, and it's working. I do drink, and honestly, I wouldn't be opposed to some, modest increase in the federal excise tax on alcohol, particularly if it's earmarked for a good cause like this. But your larger point is that by using sin taxes, we believe that we can shift an important expense to a group of people who are defenseless. and foist the cost on them, because that lets politicians say, we didn't raise income taxes, or, you know, we haven't imposed new taxes.
I thoroughly understand that. But my point is that more people drink than smoke. And if you want to make some money, I mean some real cash, put another tax on, I mean a small tax, you can make it as small as you want, and you are going to make billions of dollars.
Well,
that's a fact.
Okay, I understand your point, and I also see that you don't want to carry the burden yourself, and I understand that, and maybe you don't drink that much, so you feel...
I don't drink at all.
I see. So you want to tax somebody else's sins. Why don't we tax, senators who use hooker services, like David Vitter from Louisiana? I understand your point, and my bigger picture here is that when you tax sins, you must count on the sinning to continue in order to raise the revenues that you want. And it's a game that I don't really like to get into, because, sure, the tobacco taxes have gone up in California to fund early childhood development. In general, that's a good thing. But on the other side, you know, it's blood money. You're benefiting from the smoking and the impact of it on the healthcare system. So I would prefer to be honest and just go ahead and raise taxes in the general fund when we want to pay for some new expenditures like SCHIP. Let me know what you think, and tell me what vices you would like to see taxed. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Also want to hear your comments on the debate last night. Like I said, it was between Tim Russert and Hillary Clinton. Lines are open for you, 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
All right, everybody, it's time once again for our exciting traffic report, and let's get right to it. We have Aptos. It's northbound 1 at State Park Drive. A vehicle went off the roadway some 25 feet down the embankment, to be precise. Minor injuries being reported there. Castroville, Highway 1 northbound at Nausea Road. We have a solo spin out there, reportedly blocking roads, lanes, that is, and the fire department emergency crews on the way to the scene there. They're en route along with CHP. Santa Clara County, Highway 152 at Casa de Fruta is a pickup truck stalled out there, and it's partially blocking lanes. Little road work reminder, Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Emmeline. The off-ramp closed until the summer of 2008. This report brought to you by Cal Football. The Golden Bears return for their homecoming against Oregon State on Saturday, October 13. Tickets are available at calbears.com. Go Bears!
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm still Peter B. Want to acknowledge one of our great listeners, Jake in Arcata, who updated us late in the program yesterday about this important development, some cracks in the Bush police state. Based in Portland, a federal district judge, Ann Aiken, ruled on Wednesday that two provisions of the USA Patriot Act are unconstitutional. This relates to the case of Brandon Mayfield, who was falsely accused of being involved in the transit bombings in Spain back in 2004 in Madrid. He had nothing to do with it, and it was a case of mistaken identity, some fingerprints that were badly read. And this guy deserves real compensation and an apology from our government. And this judge ruled that the Patriot Act and Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act permit the executive branch of government to conduct surveillance and searches of American citizens without satisfying the probable cause requirements of the Fourth Amendment. Hooray. Let's see that one go all the way to the top and watch Roberts and Alito do backflips to negate that. Also, I want to direct you to truthout.org, where our pal Jason Leopold has a powerful story up about a possible break in the NSA case, because they have been able to prove that two lawyers actually were wiretapped. This is one of the catch-22s the government has used to prevent any legal intervention there. And so I direct you there to truthout.org to get the latest. Let's go to Rex in Westfield, Indiana, listening online, I hope. Hello, Rex.
How are you doing, Peter?
Nice to hear from you. Thanks.
Good. I'm listening to the KRXA stream.
Okay, great. Spread the word there. What part of Indiana is Westfield?
It's about 20 miles north, due north of Indianapolis.
Okay, you have my condolences. I grew up in Cincinnati.
Well, my condolences to you, too. At least you had a good baseball game.
Yeah, true. What's on your mind? What's on your mind, Rex?
Well, on another show this afternoon, Ed Schultz's show, Dennis Kucinich said that because of this resolution, or in part because of the resolution, basically the anti-Iran resolution you've been talking about, that he was seriously considering going ahead and doing a privileged resolution about the impeachment of Dick Cheney.
Well, he's already introduced it's HRES 333 for the impeachment.
Yeah, this is a different step.
Okay.
Apparently, the privilege resolution, they bring it up, and apparently it can't be turned down.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't personally know that parliamentary maneuver, but I'll give him credit if it works.
Yeah, from what I've been reading today, started off on Daily Cause and then went to Democratic Underground and read about it, and it's from a site that was set up for Clinton's, and apparently this privilege resolution, they have to bring the resolution to the floor and debate it for an hour and then vote on it.
Yeah. Well, Rex, I really feel that this is an important step, and I have said repeatedly that on my Formica table here at my cheap little studio that impeachment is on the table. And even if it doesn't go to term and actually remove one of these jokers from office, it will have the effect of preventing them from another misadventure such as they intend for Iran. And it just frustrates me to no end that Nancy Pelosi keeps saying that stupid line that impeachment is not on the table. And she told Wolf Blitzer this week that, there's all this accountability going on. And I'm sorry, there is no accountability like impeachment. It is the constitutional remedy for law breaking by high office holders. And we can't, deny that just because of political ideas or a sense that it might backfire on the Democratic Party. It's an important function that should go forward for the sake of the future of our nation. Rex, thanks a lot for calling from Hoosier Land. I appreciate it. George in Sacramento, you got a quickie for me?
Hello, Peter B. Well, I have, I'm not a smoker or a drinker, but I'm against taxing cigarette users for their bills. I think that that's a predatory thing, and I just think it's cheap and cowardly. And the other thing is this thing about, because, well, about the appropriations, wasn't that almost a quarter of $1 trillion? And they attach this hate crime thing to it, but they vote yes on it, the Democrats? I can't believe that.
Yeah, it's a real mixed message, isn't it?
It's just horrible.
Yeah. I got to run to a break. Sorry, my friend, but call me again. I appreciate your comments. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. We'll take more of your calls in the Free Speech Zone as we continue. Go to my website at peterbcollins.com and tell me what happens, will you?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. I start a couscous and a bottle of Venusian. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
11 a.m. Saturdays. The Quantum Leap. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. On KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo. And so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 34 minutes after the hour. We're taking your calls in the free speech zone, 888-5-PETER-B. There are a couple of lines available. We'll get to you in just a second, 888-573-8372. But we have discovered a new source for the unvarnished truth and the unscrubbed presidential quotation. It is R.J. Shulman, a reporter who's been fired from 13 major newspapers, perhaps for refusing to scrub quotes. And he is now available exclusively at the website p-t-s-d.blogspot.com. That is the site of the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. RJ, welcome back to our program.
Thank you, Peter V. It's really nice that you have me on the show and that you hear all different kind of voices, especially the ones that are ignored or trying to be silenced by the mainstream media.
Well, what I've noticed about your work, and I've really just been sampling it here for a few weeks now, is that you do not scrub quotations. And this is something that goes on regularly in the media, where, say, President Bush says something really stupid, like our children's is learning, and they'll correct it and say, well, what he meant to say was our children are learning. And you don't do that when you cover issues related to the president. You just lay out what, you know, the kind of stuff with the bad syntax and the nonsensical verbiage, and you've done it again. Here we have the Senate throwing up a gauntlet for the president over the S-CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Bill. He's threatening to veto it, and you've got the unvarnished, unscrubbed language of President Bush. Tell us what he said.
Yeah, it said... the president, who's going to veto this popular bill, said the high costification of this bill would take precious resources of monies away from us protecting the unborn life, including all them stem cells, snowflakes. Besides, we need the money to give them democracy or give them death in Iraq. I think it was John Henry who penned that phrase of writing in Revolutionary Times.
Now, that's what he actually said, but, you know,
that's what he said, right?
You read a corporate source or, you know, watch it on TV, they edit out the dumb stuff, and they actually improve his IQ by, what, 20, 30 points?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the only place that does that. Ahmadinejad, when he said those comments about there are no gays in Iran, that was scrubbed in Farsi when all that information went back to the people in Iran. So you know, there are some similarities between the two countries in the way that the media handles the leader.
Yeah. Now, your account of the showdown at the UN is, it's called Dictator Day. Give us the angle.
Yeah, and we didn't hear this over here. Of course, if the rest of the world has reported it, it's actually Dictator Day. And that's a day, it's going to be each week, I've just found out, that dictators are going to get up and speak to the General Assembly. And even though it didn't make the press, it's really part of it's going to be a reality show. And each week, all the dictators get up and speak, and then the General Assembly removes one.
I see. They vote one off the island of New York, of Manhattan.
Out of the UN, that's correct.
Interesting. And how did this evolve? Is this the plan of Ban Ki-moon, the new UN Secretary General?
Yeah, no one was paying that much attention to the UN. When they're on TV, they get no ratings. And he kind of cut a deal with Spetz, and I guess he made a pact with Les Moonves, who is, of course, the dictator over there at CBS, who decides which shows live and die. And so they figured if they put a show together, and it's either going to be called The Decider or it's going to be called The World's Next Top Tyrant. I think that's the one they're going to go with.
Uh-huh.
This is a popularity ratings toy for the UN, who's suffering from low ratings.
You know, I don't watch those reality shows because I just find them revolting. And, you know, whatever they're about, they take 5 minutes of stuff and add music and drama and lights and spread it out over a whole hour. But doesn't CBS have some show where a bunch of kids are locked up in a compound slitting each other's throats or something?
Yeah, they do have a show like that, and it looks like it's going to be a hit. So they're very excited about this new dictator show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the highlights of the first show is going to be Ahmadinejad getting up and proclaiming that, denies the Holocaust, and then Bush gets up and denies evolution. So it's a pretty interesting show.
Yeah, that's a neener. We can't wait to see on primetime TV. Now, what's your angle on the whole Blackwater flak there in Iraq? We've been talking a lot about that on the program, RJ.
Yeah, I'm glad you're talking about it. Most of the rest of the media have ignored it. There's the real reason why Bush and Condoleezza Rice and frankly senators on both sides of the aisle are adamant about really keeping Blackwater in Iraq is, you know, basically they're saying, would you rather have those boys fighting over there or fighting over here? I mean, the idea is how frightening would it be to have Cousin Mary and Cletus, you know, high on meth with an AK-47 on Main Street here. So I think the idea is it's better to have them over there.
Well, but RJ, we had a call from a listener earlier today pointing out that Blackwater was deployed on the streets of New Orleans after Katrina. So we are fighting them over here.
Well, it didn't work out too well. As everyone knows, Katrina is not a shining star in the history of what has gone on in America.
Right. Well, once again, you have an unscrubbed quote from President Bush. Can you dish that up for us?
Let's see if we can find that one on the on Blackwater here.
Yeah, and by the way, just while you're looking for it, p-t-s-d.blogspot.com. It's simpler than it sounds when I lay it out verbally.
Yeah, the president said it. I mean, obviously we know the right, real reason now, but he said that Nouriel Franconini fella should know that I'm the decider. I just need to the premier minister understand dead people are already dead and that is over, so we should just let dead horses lie. And that's basically what he said publicly about Blackwater. But
mm-hmm.
Your listeners, Peter B., now know the real story. They don't want those boys over here.
Yeah. R.J. Shulman, thanks for your update. And also, if people go to the site, they're going to find out the scary angle that could be the truth about how Marcel Marceau actually died. You've got the exclusive there, and people need to go to the site and check that out. Thank you, R.J.
All right. Thanks, Peter B. Talk to you next time.
Yeah, nice to talk with you. R.J. Shulman from p-t-s-d.blogspot.com. PTSD. Susan in Davis, thanks for holding. You're next on the PBC show.
Hi, I'm listening on KSAC in Sacramento.
Uh-huh.
And you were talking about taxing other people's sins.
Right, right. What are your sins that I could put a hefty tax on to help, you know, close the budget gap in Sacramento?
High fructose corn syrup.
Okay, you don't use it at all?
Well, I've used it. Well, it's in everything we eat, pretty much.
It is. That's right.
It causes boatloads of trouble in this country. particularly in the form of soda pop.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got so many people who are drinking way too much of this stuff, and it's causing all kinds of problems, mostly obesity.
Right.
And as far as I'm concerned, it's kind of a losing proposition to tax smokers because there are fewer, and the numbers are decreasing on smokers.
Right.
And they're causing, you know, less of a drain on health care dollars than people who are too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of them, I'm one of those people that's way too heavy and needs to lose weight.
I've got a few extra. I'll just confess, you can't see me on the radio. I've got a few extra pounds, Susan. In fact, I'll just make this my personal confessional here. And if you want to tax my sins, you would put a dollar a pint tax on Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I actually confessed to Ben Cohen a few years ago that I have named my love handles Ben and Jerry left and right.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right, Susan, thanks for listening. Great to have you calling, too.
Okay.
All right, bye. Now to Sue.
Now to Sue.
Oh, Sue, turn that radio down, please, because you are causing feedback that could actually burst my eardrum. That's Sue in Alberta, California. Welcome.
Thank you, Peter. I'm right there with the last caller. I just think it should be a fat tax since obesity and heart disease are the number one leading killer. Just anything that causes fat or either sugars, fats, carbs, proteins with your meats.
Yeah.
I mean, as a smoker, I feel extremely discriminated against, and I find it embarrassing for fat people to come up to me and tell me, oh, you should quit smoking. And I try to be considerate and kind, and I don't mention you should stop eating, but if they're going to do sin taxes, that's the way to go.
Mm-hmm. What about taxing fat people who wear skimpy clothing? For example, you know, the fashion these days in women's tops is that they end a couple of inches above the navel. And if you are a slim woman, I find that attractive and often a little sexy. Some people will toss a little navel bauble in there just to make me look at it. But gosh, when a gal who is overweight is insisting on being fashion forward and has what we call the donut ring hanging out, I just want to say, please, please stop.
An annoyance tax?
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
I also had a concept a few years ago, Sue, back when jukeboxes were more popular.
Yeah.
That, you know, if it cost you a quarter to pick a song, that I ought to be able to go in there and pay 50 cents to take it off.
And I see what you mean.
And I would have done that. You know, the final episode of The Sopranos, Tony's at that diner, and for god-awful reasons, he puts a quarter in and puts on a Journey song. I mean, I would have paid $2.
I honestly don't believe in any of these sin taxes. Most everything is overtaxed in those very small areas. But I think we should just have a flat tax for all of it.
Well, you know, Sue, the whole thing is we should have the courage to say, these are the things we want government to do. Here's how much it's going to cost, and here is your share. Pay it through the sales tax. Pay it through the income tax. Pay it through capital gains. There are a lot of different ways. How about the corporate tax? You know, we play this whole game where corporations go to great lengths to escape paying any taxes on their profits, and now they're paying far less on dividends that are distributed to insiders and to individual shareholders. And they get away with that in this pro-business climate that the Bush administration has established, that it would be a real sin to tax business. Well, come on! You know, they are getting away with highway robbery in so many cases, and our politicians get so much money from those interests for their campaigns that they will not tax them. Instead, they pick on you, Sue, the smoker.
See, that's taxation without representation, because that guy is not representing me.
Yeah. Sue, I'll tell you one more thing. I'm not a smoker, but I really feel sad that outside of major office buildings, people have to huddle there in order to get a smoke break. And it's unfair to those who don't smoke because the smokers get more breaks and are away from their desks, more often.
The same amount of breaks as non-smokers.
Maybe you do, but do you understand my point, especially when the weather is crappy and you've got to go outside, you know, like a farm animal to enjoy your vice. Thanks
yeah,
a lot.
Colony.
Thanks
yeah.
a lot for your call. I appreciate it. Now we go to John in Carmel Valley. Hey, John, you're on the air.
I want to recommend a book that I've had for ages, and it embarrasses me how long it took me to read it. It's called The Five Great Religions by Edward Rice. It came out in 73.
Mm.
The reason I like it so much is that he makes salient points. He doesn't try. There are only about 50 pages devoted to each of these five religions, so he can't say that much. He makes really interesting key points rather than trying to dote on the details. And one, he says, just to give an example, Christianity is the last covered of the five. And he makes a point about Constantine. He says, Constantine, he was that Roman Empire emperor who recognized Christianity in about 300 AD, and he said that's how Christianity got its violent, it was a secular individual like this who got a hold of Christianity, and from there the papacy caught on to power brokerage, and he thinks it's one of the key ways Jesus' ideas about nonviolence got more than sidetracked.
Well, John, I would echo that because, as many people know, I went on vacation to Italy this past summer, and I'm a recovering Catholic. And when I go to the Vatican, I have such mixed feelings because it's a beautiful place, and to those who believe, it's very inspiring. But it's also the center of a nation state that declared war and conquered lands and oppressed people, all in the name of Jesus. They've got one of the biggest real estate empires in the world run by a fraternity, a very closed fraternity. And when you pile all that together, it's not very consistent with the message that Jesus brought us. I got to run to a break, John. Thanks for recommending that for our listeners. We'll take more of your calls in a moment. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at our last traffic report of the evening. Traffic pretty good, really, in many locations in the Monterey, Salinas, and Carmel. We are going to tell you about a problem in Salinas right now. It's Davis Road at West Rossi. It's a two-vehicle crash blocking the roadway there, and we do have police CHP units on scene. Well, we also want to mention the fact that we have a problem in, this is also Salinas. This is Davis 183 at Davis Road, another problem there. It's a large steel plate in the lanes. Just a quick reminder, we do have road construction in Salinas. And, well, forget Salinas. Let's go over to Santa Cruz. We're going to tell you about Highway 1 in both directions between Bay Street and Chestnut. The right lane closed for utility work. And this will be from 7:30 in the morning until 4 p.m. in the afternoon. The support brought to you by Goodrich.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 8 minutes in front of the hour. We are on time, we're under budget, and so far, no dead air today. I must be doing better. We're in the free speech zone. If you want to call, I might be able to squeeze you in. 888-5-PETER-B, that toll-free number. Scott Dick, who was with us last hour, has chimed back in. What do you got, Scott? Oh, wrong. I'm sorry, start again, Scott. I had the wrong fader up. Go ahead.
Oh, Peter, you have good taste in candidates for Congress.
And why is that?
Well, you know, Jerry McNerney is the first one to come out, and his email blast went out, Chicken Hawk Limbaugh goes too far, and this is referencing Rush Limbaugh's remarks yesterday on a show that any soldier who came back from Iraq was a phony soldier.
And opposed the war. Let's. I actually have the clip here, and people can hear it for themselves at thinkprogress.org.
I don't think they have an answer for that other than, well, he's going to bring the troops home. Keep the troops safe, whatever. It's not possible intellectually to follow these people.
No, it's not. And what's really funny is they never talk to real soldiers. They like to pull these soldiers to come up out of the blue and stop the media.
The phony soldiers.
If you talk to a real soldier, they're proud to serve. They want to be over in Iraq. They understand their sacrifice, and they're willing to sacrifice for the country.
They joined to be in Iraq.
Oh, Rush, holy cow. Tell that to the reservists and the National Guard members who are on their third tour in Iraq. They didn't join for that.
Peter, and yes. He said he intellectually can't follow him. That's because he's stupid.
Yep.
But anyway, Jerry McNerney, my hero, he's already gone to the mat and sent it out one day later. And hopefully we can get the same Democrats that voted on the resolution condemning the move on Ord to vote on this one, too. And not be afraid of that big, fat gas bag. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't call him names.
Here's a quote from Congressman Frank Pallone, Democrat from New Jersey. Soldiers may question the war, but it doesn't mean they're any less committed to their mission. And now I wonder if Republicans who showed so much outrage toward MoveOn.org yesterday will hold Rush Limbaugh to the same standard. And I wouldn't hold your breath.
Because, Peter, you know, if you want to call anybody a phony soldier, it would be Petraeus, because he's sitting behind a desk in an air-conditioned office. He's got his aide there, his several aides. He's got his swimming pool and his gymnasium that they you know, I'm pretty sure, come to correct me if I'm wrong, that are only good for general officers. It's not the same as a soldier who's going out and taking it to the bad guys every day. So
yeah.
I just want to get that out. If people support McNerney in this, send him an email, tell him that he is our hero.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Good point. Jake's with us from Arcata. Hey, Jake.
Hey, good to be. How's it going?
Pretty good, thanks.
You know, it sounds like Rush Limbaugh's back from the OxyContin. I don't think that drug treatment worked too well for Rush. Or for Bush, for that matter. Speaking of phony soldiers,
yeah.
How about Bush and his 18 months of desertion from the Alabama National Guard? You know, I don't see Republicans...
Wait, Jake. That was Dan Rather's fault.
Oh, that's right. It's a big left-wing conspiracy, a vast left-wing conspiracy.
I got an interesting email report today suggesting that Dan Rather's lawyers are going to try to call George W. Bush and George H.W. Bush to testify in his $70 million lawsuit against CBS, basically alluding to the idea that they squeezed CBS to fire Dan Rather and to block his reporting.
Well, you know, Rather's lawyers better get on that before Junior Bush and Daddy Bush flee to their ranch in Paraguay. They'll never get him in court if they don't do it soon.
Yeah,
this is the whole point, is the Republicans and just their lunacy. Look at these candidates. First of all, you had every single Republican candidate except John McCain refuse to go on the Univision debate to present their views to Latinos. And now the second debate that's focusing on African-American issues that Tavis Smiley will be hosting, all of the front runners on the Republican side are refusing again to show up for this debate. And Republicans have, you know, they still wonder why African Americans and Latinos don't vote Republican. You know, if you Republican candidates don't even think enough of people in this country to talk to them about their issues that they're concerned about, then, you know, these Republican candidates have no business even running for office, in my opinion.
It is amazing that, you know, they will drop everything to go to Iowa or New Hampshire for a Fox News Channel event, but they can't find the time to go to a PBS event hosted by an African American. It doesn't smell good.
That's right. Well, you know, if it was hosted by some right-wing racist like a Sean Clannity, I bet those Republicans would show up for that debate. But they don't want to be in a debate where they might get asked some real questions, because Republicans just aren't used to that.
Well, they also know in their rehearsals that they don't have many answers. You know, the idea of market-driven health care, for-profit health care, you know, the Bush administration, they don't really want to acknowledge the failures of Katrina, and that was really part of an intentional policy. I'm not saying that they wanted people to die in New Orleans, but once the storm hit and the city was flooded, they had a really callous approach to dealing with the issues there, and it's pretty clear that there's at least an implied racist undertone to the many of the decisions and lack of action by the Bush administration, even to date. I mean, give him a pass on the calamity that occurred immediately after Katrina when the levees broke. But since then, besides throwing money at the problem, most of which has not trickled down to the people who really need it, they gave money to areas in Alabama and Mississippi that were hardly affected by the storm, and those are part of the go zone that has brought you know, investors in to try to cash in on that calamity. Jake, thanks a lot, too, for pointing out the Portland decision yesterday about the Patriot Act. We're going to follow up on that. Hope to do a segment soon.
Thank you, Peter B. Happy
trails. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Brian Urban, our assistant producer today, will be back at you same time, same channel tomorrow.
Happy trails. Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A presidential veto is waiting, but the Senate, voting 67-29, has given final congressional approval to a big funding increase for S-CHIP. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The bill would expand the children's health insurance program to add around 3.5 million more kids, children of working parents who don't get insurance at work and can't afford to buy it. Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid says the total cost to be paid for by raising the cigarette tax is less than what's spent in Iraq in a month.
Surprisingly, stunningly, President Bush continues to insist that he'll stop this bill from becoming law.
That veto threat also upsets a lot of Republicans who like the program, including Utah's Orrin Hatch.
There's no excuse for us not enrolling these kids and getting them the health care that they need.
President Bush says he wants more families to buy private health insurance. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Senate vote is veto-proof, but there aren't enough votes in the House for an override. President Bush has heard the anguished cries of air travelers.
We got a problem. We understand there's a problem, and we're going to address the problem.
He met today with senior transportation officials searching for solutions to the growing problem of flight delays, cancellations, and stranded passengers. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes says officials will focus first on Kennedy Airport in New York.
The president is creating a new rulemaking committee made up of New York aviation officials and the airlines. They'll have until December to find ways to cut delays. One option, congestion fees, charging airlines a premium for flying during peak hours.
Carriers say they're packing their schedules to meet passenger demand. They say they need more runways and improved air traffic control so more planes can be in the sky at the same time. In Gina, Louisiana, late today, a round of applause for 17-year-old Michael Bell, released on bail after months of uncertainty. As one of the Gina six black high school students charged with beating a white classmate, he was tried and convicted as an adult. But the conviction was overturned, and D.A. Reed Walters announced today he will not try to prosecute Bell as an adult again.
This decision comes after thoroughly reviewing the facts and researching the law in this area, as well as consulting with some of the best legal minds that I know of in this state.
Bell's case will be referred to juvenile court. Activist Al Sharpton is satisfied.
Let Gina represent.